Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 2007. Thank you, and God bless.
Wildcard caller in Virginia, welcome to Coast, you're on with my guest, Dr. David. Go ahead.
I'm George.
Yes, sir.
I got to hand it to you for being able to follow part of this conversation. Some of this is just going right through me, over my head. I have a question about time travel.
Okay.
In that, let's say your guest and I, he and I both got in the same time machine. We went into the past by, say, 6 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Grabbed a hold of ourselves, brought ourselves forward into the future. Now, all four of us are standing right here, right now. Since we are right here, right now, would the four of us still be able to listen to the Don and Mike Show?
Well, you—if you do that, you grab yourself and
thank you.
Bye.
Now, there's a time traveler who left his brain behind.
Well, you've taken yourself. Oh, oops, my phone fell off.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Box. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in this company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Just, you know, man, so we talk real illiterate. That's the amount I say.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know to fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Oh, no. No.
Here they are. They're the ones that said to me, don't believe whatever you hear a guest's book on this show.
Right.
I know you don't like to hear me say it, Mike, but sometimes they're right.
No, they're never right.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. More cash in your khaki pants and all the ships at sea. One spent the morning with the widow Peck. The other was the widow Brinkley, consoling.
Yes.
And soothing. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie. And hi, thank you for listening to Don and Mike Show. A new episode on this Thursday, June 12th.
Right.
At 3:06, the Don and Mike Broadcast Network, consisting of 106.7 WJFK FM, Washington, D.C. Live 105.7, Baltimore, 94 WISP Philadelphia, and 96 Rock in Ocean City.
All right.
In those cities, you may call us at 877-365-3636. Canada, well, I guess. There's Rob somewhere in the back screaming. 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C., as always, your special line is 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz.
Hi.
The first question, of course, is...
Is anyone listening?
Lots of people are listening.
All right. Shut up!
Oh, you shut up.
Hey, what happened?
And finally...
Someone called for a doctor?
There it is.
Yeah. The show is on the air.
Mm-hmm. First rule, I just want to just give a little advice to any of you kids out there who hear this and think, this sounds like fun.
Yes, I'd like to do this.
Do a radio show. And I give you this. It's generally just a kick in the pants. It's a lot of fun.
Right.
When they tell you, when you got a show like ours, it really is a show that generally nobody takes seriously. When they tell you you're going to get a guest, mm-hmm. even if it's a guest who used to have a TV show, and then went through rehab and is now on the bottom looking up. Some might even say that on the showbiz chain, we're above Brett Butler now.
But a typical guest for us is what that would be.
And mm-hmm. and here's the tip that I'm going to give you. When they tell you that, the person's guest is booked, don't tell your audience. Because you're just going to embarrass yourself.
Right.
Because you know, without fail, that 3 minutes before you go on the air,
naturally,
somebody's going to come in and say, and the excuse du jour is, Brett Butler has a toothache.
Well, I would imagine she's got a mouthful of bad teeth.
And this, you know, bless her heart, this is where Lisa Herndon just, you know, she believes the publicists. And frankly, that's why, honey... You got to watch the movie Swimming with Sharks a couple more times to get what your job is all about. Brett Butler, here's what Lisa says to me. Nice Pollyanna, sweethearted Lisa, just weeks away from being married, comes in and she says that Brett Butler has a toothache.
I also told you it was off the record and there's a lot more to it than that.
Well, what else could there be?
Well, I can tell you more about it off the record, just like her manager said, off the record.
But off the record, she's not here.
Yes, and off the record, there was a very good reason for it.
No, there's never a good reason to cancel the Don and Mike show.
But here's the part.
That's what I said.
Here's the part that sweet Lisa believed. She really wants to be on the show, and she really wants to come in tomorrow.
Whatever.
Honey, you're funny. No.
Thanks.
Listen, you're sweet.
Right, is that why you shooed me out of the studio after I talked about
it? I shooed you out because... when I go to the trouble, you know, and why do I do it? I don't know. When I go to the trouble of actually trying to map out maybe what we're going to do on the show, I shoo you out. I mean, if I could, I'd bitch slap Brett Butler. But she ain't here, honey.
You're the only bitch slap me.
You're the only one who's here. I can't hit you. I love you. I can't hit you. But I can shoo you out of the studio in 3 seconds before we go on the air. You say, oh, yes, Brett Butler has a toothache. She won't be here. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Oh, darling. Mwah!
I'm sorry. Next time it
great
will
news.
It will be before 2:59 last next time. I'm sorry.
And you know what you said before? Sometimes hitting a woman is a sign of love.
Rob. Stop it.
Rob, you're the
go to your cage.
You're the greatest, Rob.
Go to your corner.
Hey, did you put my casino tape away already?
You need it?
Yeah, I need that. I had one pulled out in advance.
Yeah, you're a happy guy today.
So anyway, for those of you,
all the Brett Butlers in the world aren't going to screw with your day.
The five or six of you that tuned in to hear has been Brett Butler. You won't.
Well, I feel sorry for the people that might have done that. I think that's a little ridiculous if they tuned in to hear Brett Butler.
Mm-hmm. And
that's a sad state. That's silly.
And let's see if what the publicist told Lisa is true. If in fact Brett Butler really wants to be on this show and wants to come in tomorrow.
I can't wait to hear that off the record story. That's going to be a lot of fun.
No, nor can I. Well, all I got to say is it made me sound cold. It just somebody better be dead. You know, and I can deal with that if it's off the record. Was it?
I remember a million years ago when you said about our traffic reporter, she'd better have been in a car accident, and she was.
She was. She was late for work that day.
And that's where you set the standard. You set the bar, and that's the right way to do it.
So anyway, no Brett Butler. But, you know, not shame on Brett Butler. Shame on me for believing the fact that someone of some notable account 10 or 15 years ago,
not really even then,
would actually be on this show.
Right.
So, anyway.
You know, it's nice to see you, to bring our disappointment to the forefront.
We will.
Sometimes, because it's really, and yes, I have laryngitis today, in case you couldn't tell.
Don't worry.
I didn't tell you before the show, though. I figured I'd wait till we were up and running.
My voice is fine. I got plenty. I can run. I was sick last week. I could run.
I'm not
now sick.
I just I've
for
been
4 hours today.
Too much night.
No
reflux. That reflux again.
Oh,
yeah. That's what it was diagnosed with.
Well, don't worry.
The acid indigestion when I'm sleeping. I didn't take my pill last night.
I got plenty. I got plenty to go today. Don't worry. I'm loaded for bear today. Just wind me up and let me go.
You seem like you are loaded for bear today. You
really man, am I ready?
Yeah.
Am I ready? 3:12 is the current time. And did I have a night last night? I want to tell you. And I brought in a picture. Let me open up my little handheld thing here and go to photo gallery. That I actually want you guys to see the setup that I have. Hold on.
Now, are you in the picture?
Photo stand. No. But
I wanted to see you in the picture with the garter belts on your arm and
but you can't.
The little visor, the little banker's visor.
Like this is you've been down there many times, my den in my home, and that is the setup. Now, is there enough light for you to see there that there's the actual blackjack table that has the thing that says dealer will take a hit on 16 but must stand on 17?
You've got your little chip thing there. And
got the chip and I got the shoe.
You got the shoe all ready to go, and there you are with your marks.
And I had
taking money off your doctor buddies.
Now, yeah, you check that out, Robbie. You see the picture? That's a sweet setup, right? That's a home casino right there. And, well, what they say is true.
In a casino, the cardinal rule is to keep them playing and keep them coming back. The longer they play, the more they lose. In the end, we get it all.
Yeah, and
I know that
eventually it'll catch up with me, but
right.
But last night I had, as it turns out, the fifth guy couldn't make it, so four guys came over, four marks came over.
Marks.
These guys, they are doctors.
Doctor?
They are orthopedic.
Dr. Lecter?
Orthopedic surgeons. One of them is a general practitioner. They came over. The good news is that I started with a bank. $100.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I got $400. If I lose, if I totally cash out, if I lose everything, I'll write these guys a check. But at the end of the evening, by the time the second quarter of the Spurs game started, I had $690 net profit, $290, and one of the four marks actually won. One of them,
one of the four doctors
actually walked away with a profit of $140.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys were in there. They were just.
Lecter, Giggles, Detroit, and No.
They were, all the doctors. They were just tossing the money left and right.
Well, they got plenty. They're doctors. They got plenty of money to throw around.
That's why I had no problem taking it from them.
And it's a perfect outcome. I've given it some thought, and this could not have worked better for you because one of them won. The others are going to want to come back because they're always going to be the one guy.
As long as you have one winner, you're going to be doing
all you need.
That's how you get them.
So they come over last night, and I hooked them up with a nice cigar, had nice beverages waiting for them. Had said, look, we got the Spurs game on, Nets game on the big screen down
here. Now, did you make the beverages?
Yeah, I did.
And did you slip the Mickeys into all the beverages?
I gave them all roofies.
They were all goofy.
After I took their money, I raped them all. I made them very strong.
They went home with a cranberry juice and their butt was bleeding.
I made them real strong the way that guys like them. Mm-hmm. And we started, and the great thing about being the guy that's running the illegal game is that as they got going and one guy got on a roll, I would say to the other guys, well, now look, and they swore me to secrecy with the names.
Good.
And they didn't want their picture taken. I said, I want to take a picture to show my buddies at work.
They're horribly embarrassed that they're marks. That's what they're horribly. Yeah. They're horribly embarrassed about that.
By the black tape. I called them marks to their name. I said, Dr. Marks, meet Dr. Marks. Dr. Marks, meet Dr. Marks. Dr. Marks.
How long did they play for?
They played. They arrived at my house at about 8, and they were out. What time did I call you, Robbie?
10:15, I think.
10:15. I couldn't wait. I called Rob at 10:15 and said, listen, you're not going to believe it. I made $290 on these guys.
There you go.
They were gone right as the second half of the basketball game started.
That's a dream evening for you. You get them out early and you count their money.
And really, they're all nice guys. They're really very nice guys. And I would have said that win or lose. Well, no, I wouldn't have said that. But they were very pleasant guys. They came in. They're doctors, so they've got cash. They wanted to see my bankroll.
Were they all wearing their stethoscopes?
Yeah, and they were all wearing their scrubs. It was like they were on ER.
Oh, that's great.
No, actually, one of them was. One of them had like the light green, the lime green pajamas.
Oh, really? Like he came right from the hospital?
Yeah, he had come right from there, and he said, I'm up for a good game of cards.
Are you allowed to say what specialties they practiced?
One of them is an orthopedic guy.
You had to have at least one anesthesiologist there, right?
No.
No?
The other guy is a general practitioner. The other guy is, and this didn't really count as being a doctor. He's an oral surgeon.
That's the same thing.
He's a dentist.
Yeah, if you're oral surgeon, you got to cut open up.
He's a dentist.
Don't dentists go to school longer than doctors?
Yeah, I believe they do. Harder to get in, too.
And the fourth, I ask you not, some type of brain surgeon.
Cool.
Some type.
And he didn't win, did he?
Some type of. No, he did.
Oh, he was the one that won.
He was the winner. He was the winner. But what's great is you get these guys there, and I'm fixing their drinks. Can you see the TV okay? And I got some Doritos over here, and I got some potato chips here. And if you guys want pizza, I'm set.
I bet they had a blast.
They had a great time. And
good.
What I love most is being the guy dealing the cards. You know, you deal first one face down, second one face up. You go, oh, three, oh, you probably, that's not great. Oh, seven, good, you're in good shape there. Oh, big queen. Oh, look at two. Now, that's a dangerous card, a two. You can do a lot with a two. You're looking at a five right here. I feel good about that. Five.
When did you turn into Steve Wynn? That's what I want to know.
And then as they're playing, as the night went on, one guy was down. I think one of the guys came with $100 and cashed it into chips. Right, we started playing for $5 a hand.
Right,
and eventually they started raising the stakes. And one of them said to me at the very end, "What's the limit?" I said, "No limit." I said, "We're all reasonable guys, so we're not talking about astronomical amounts of money." I would say,
"No limit."
I'd say,
"How generous of you!"
And I said, "I think the limit would be, how much would you like to bet?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "Well." He had four blue chips left. He said, that's $100. I said, well, you could either do it slowly or quickly. You could either.
Listen to you.
You could either.
What you're saying is you can do it slowly. You could lose your money slowly or quickly.
You could either, stretch it out or, you know, I said, do what I would do, which is go for it right away.
Because
either,
yeah, what you would do.
Either you're going to win the 100 right away or you're going to know that it's gone. And then you just kick back and watch the game.
Right.
And the guy said, what the hell? Let it go. And guy took a hit on 17.
Oh, my God.
Guy had a seven showing.
What were you showing?
I was showing a queen.
Yeah, you still don't take a hit on seven.
No, I had 19, and the guy had a seven showing, and he said, he did the thing, he just tapped the green little velvet thing, and went,
And before he could think about it, that card was down.
Yeah.
Boom. That break card was down. Yeah.
Boom, you're in.
And the mogul went on to count his fortune.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
You are giddy with this. You are really all over with this.
That's great.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, how many decks were you playing with?
Four decks, my friend.
Four decks. And that turned out good for you, I guess.
Pardon me?
And it turned out good for you, it sounds.
Yeah, I'm very happy with it. I mean, listen, I would have been happy. Really, I like the experience of having guys over to play cards.
Four decks.
Yeah.
Well, you got to have four decks.
Yeah, so the odds are in your favor.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Sorry.
Did you have a drink for each deck you played with?
I am running a legitimate business here.
An honest game. If you played with one deck, of course, the odds would be with the players.
No, but I wanted it to be as much like
but a... But the odds would be better for the players. You'd still have the advantage.
As much like a Las Vegas experience as possible.
Yes.
So you get...
Mm-hmm. Most importantly, the house always wins.
I have four brand new decks of cards that I opened up and let the guys look at, and then, you know, I actually even let them shuffle.
Do you ever make any mistakes?
Last night, I only made one mistake. There was only one time, and you're going to love this, because it was one of those deals where I had, I think, a six, and then my second card was an eight or a nine. Whatever it was 17, and I'm supposed to stick on 17.
Right.
And I said, well, dealer will take one more, and it was three, and I turned it over, and I had 20. Mm-hmm. And as I leaned over and started to rake in all the chips, one of the guys said, hey, hold on. You're not allowed to take a hit on 17.
There you go.
Yeah. And I said... No, but I didn't take a hit on 17. They went back and counted the cards, and yes, indeed, I had taken a hit on 17.
Was that early in the game?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
And right. I would pay a penalty on that?
I was just being stupid.
Do you do insurance?
I do offer insurance.
You do? That's getting complicated.
Well, now, the deal is that, you know, you've got, and I don't have that sophisticated device to actually put the card in the machine so you get the little light.
Right, right. But you're getting it. It's on order.
But I look at it and I say, anybody want insurance? I did it every time. Anybody want insurance?
Did you have blackjack a couple of times?
Twice. Twice. And
I might steal your idea now.
To answer your question.
Start ripping off my friends.
When I miscounted, I gave each of them $5. I gave each of them a red chip.
They were each betting $25.
No,
I'm kidding.
They won the hand.
Right.
And on top of it, I said, because I'm so stupid, here's five for either of you.
Hey, that's pretty decent.
You play 3-2 on blackjack? I can't even remember. What do you pay when they get blackjack?
When they get blackjack, it was 3-2.
And how hard is it to do the math for that? Because you were doing all chips and stuff.
I got books. I got books.
You really pay 3-2 on blackjack?
Yes. And I had...
That is incredible. You've gone mental on this.
My little...
You have really gone mental on this. I mean, you are going nuts on this.
Well, because the book says you pay 3-2 on a blackjack. If a guy gets a natural blackjack, he wins 3-2.
Right. If he bets $10, you give him $30 in a payoff.
Correct.
Right.
And that's how you do it. And I had a calculator.
What can you pay, Mike?
What's that?
What do you think you should pay, Mike? Or what should Don pay?
Wait, hold on a second.
For a blackjack.
It would be 15. 3-2 is like 1.5, isn't it?
1.5.
So you'd pay...
Whatever it was. I would do it with my calculator.
Right.
But he did spike their drinks. You got to remember that.
Yeah, I gave him our roof.
3-2. If you bet $10, you'd win $20, and then $15, half.
Everything was above board with the
half
guys.
Half of a $30 bet. Right.
Because right here, I'd go to calculator, and I'd say, okay, you bet, for instance, on that hand, $15 times 3.5. You know, say that's what you've won. It was very simple to do, and I did the math.
And you do it with your little organizer there? Is that how you had it?
Yeah, because I said, you know, I'm not the best with doing this off the top of my head, so
right.
We're going to do, if anybody hits a blackjack, you're going to get, because it says, and the reason I do it with those odds is that's what's printed on that green,
right.
That green felt that my wife got me that goes over the poker table.
That's why you get $250 when you play a $5 table.
And it's just a...
Right, Rob, you get the extra $250 on top of your $5 when you hit blackjack at a $5 table.
It was a great night. It was just a great night. I love gambling. I called my wife afterwards and I said, listen, I want to change my name to Ace Rosenthal. Or what was his name? Was that his Ace?
I think it was Ace Rosenberg.
Ace Rosenthal. Whatever.
Rosenthal's the car dealer.
No, but Pesci called him a Jew quite a few times.
No, maybe it was Rosenthal. Maybe it was.
And maybe he changed it. Well, whatever.
Rothstein.
Ace Rothstein.
Ace Rothstein.
Thank you. And just in case. Now, one of them may call in today anonymously. I told them they would, and I wouldn't bust them on who they were.
Right.
The only thing they were going to bust me about was my outfit that I was wearing last night.
Here.
I got home.
Are you wearing a shiny vest?
No. What I had on was a pair of black dress pants. And I had a shiny, you know those shiny, like, mobster shirts I have?
Yes.
I had the shiny black mobster shirt with the matching shiny black tie. And I had...
How funny is that? You wore a tie.
I wore a tie.
Very nice. Very professional.
It was my card game.
Right. Do you think that maybe the word is going to get around now? And that you are going to be, perhaps on a regular basis, entertaining people that would like a little action?
Well, two of the doctors said to me, when do we get a chance to win this money back?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know where I live?
Next week, boys.
You have my phone number. just about any time.
Well, Don, I'm here to tell you.
Yeah?
Daddy wants a taste.
I don't want it to hurt our friendship.
It won't hurt our friendship.
Then I'd love to have you there.
And I've certainly lost my ass playing poker at your house.
I can't
do any worse.
I got asked many times last night, how come Mike isn't here?
I wanted to hear how it goes, and I'd be kind of into it.
The next time you do it, though, you have to remember after you shuffle to clap and then show the tops and the bottoms of your hands and say good luck. That's what they do when they switch the deals
in
Atlantic City or Vegas.
It's just, I love blackjack so much. I mean, it's just fun.
Anyway, it was great. I really.
And I actually would get joy on both counts because I would love to look at your face when you. Now are you a jovial, pleasant dealer? Or
yes, you got to be. Because first off, these guys are guests in my home. And
you're cracking me up.
Well, they are, though.
I am so glad to do this.
And I want to supply the best possible gaming ambiance that I can.
Right.
So I got the game on. I got the premium cigars. I got the booze. I got the food. I'm smiling. And I think that the first couple of hands, I got busted on both hands. All four guys won the first, and I was not... down, good. And look at that. Chips, more chips on your side, fewer on my side.
Right.
Let's go. Maybe tonight will be the night that you beat the odds.
My God.
But that's when they would fall into the trap. But now somebody's got to raise the ante. He's got to raise the ante.
And in the back of your mind, you're saying to yourself, in the words of Casino, in the end, I get it all.
You know what I'm thinking? When we went
holes in the desert.
When we went to Vegas, that there would be those $5 tables, which would be jammed, and the $10 tables and the $25 tables really were too rich for my blood. I'd play it once in a while, but I would wait for the cheap tables. Well, these guys, especially towards the end of the night, they were just saying to each other, $25 minimum, $25 minimum.
And then that's when you started licking your chops.
And I was just sitting there going,
how much fun is that? Yeah. That is fantastic.
That's
pretty cool.
I was getting all the stuff from them about, how many surgeries it would take them to finance a real weekend in Las Vegas if they, got a jet. I'm talking about that story that I read in a magazine about the guy that flew all the high rollers in. And, listen, for these guys last night, it was pin money. It was just walking around money for them.
Nice.
They just came over for the good fellowship.
And go to Vegas.
Anyway, $290.
Very good.
I don't want you to think that I didn't think of you. If you check your caller ID, you will note that I did try to call you last night. You weren't at home.
To give me an update, you called me first thing this morning with the $290.
And I wanted to call you. I tried to call you last night.
Right.
During the game,
right?
Because some of the guys were saying, "How come Mike isn't here?" And I said, "Well,
yeah, I love that kind of thing." And I, the next time I want in, I really do.
And listen, I know I got a guy right here on the phone who said, "Guaranteed, you're going to lose." And I know the odds are I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
The odds are that
the odds are that you are going to win. And could you lose? Yes, absolutely. Could they break the bank? Absolutely, especially with a small stake. But the odds are very, very much in your favor.
But I was ready to pay off last night.
That's how the game is designed. The game is designed for you to win.
Right. And how great it was. Poor doctors. I mean, I don't feel bad taking their money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The doctors.
It'd be so funny because I'd come in and I'd sit down at the table and I'd say the first thing, here's my idea. Let's play round robin dealer.
Oh, negative. You got get your own table and get your own felt stuff.
Yeah, I'll be watching you closely.
No, I don't cheat. I'm too dumb to cheat.
It's fun.
I'm really too dumb to cheat.
So much fun.
Well, I loved it. And thanks to all the Marks for coming over last night.
The Marks.
The Marks brothers.
I'd be happy to be one of those Marks.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Donna Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Pete from Seattle. I used to deal with blackjack with my buddies and my buddies' buddies all the time. And like you said, I said earlier, guaranteed that your ups will come.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I'm having a great time, though. I was prepared to lose the $400.
Well, tell us about your ups, your comeuppance. When did it happen?
Well, I lived in California a while ago, and my buddies would come over, and we'd have four or five guys there. The drinks would blow. The cigars would start flowing. And every time, for about three or four or five times in a row, I took home $100, $200, $300. And they always wanted more. They always wanted to come back. And one night, I lost about $350.
So you still came out ahead, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is you got to put away, you know, if you win $200, put away $50 for the rainy day when you're going to get your ass slapped.
Right, so you still came out ahead.
It's like everything.
Hello, Don on my show. Hello?
Hey, Don.
Hey, hello.
Hey, I'd just like to give you a warning. I don't think you should be talking about gambling on the air.
All right, you're funny.
Deja vu.
You're like the guy from yesterday. You're funny.
Good job.
Right. Thank you, my friend. See you later. Bye-bye. Where's this call going? Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, I hate to digress. Mike, what about those Red Sox, baby?
How about my Red Sox? Yes,
how about that Red Sox?
Yeah, and Yankees were no-hit last night, which was pretty special for all of us that root against the Yankees.
That's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It is a beautiful thing.
Hey, the reason I'm calling is I just wanted to say, you know, F. Brett Butler, isn't Robert the Angry Mailman supposed to be on today?
Yeah, you know, but here's the thing. Mr. 40 was supposed to be on today for his barbecue.
Right.
Mr. 40 bailed out. Mm-hmm. Last night when I was going home, Lisa called me up and said, Robert wants to know if he should come in tomorrow. And I said, no, tell Robert not to come in tomorrow because we're jam-packed because...
Mm-hmm. I was thinking Brett Butler.
Yeah.
So, God damn it.
So I rescheduled Robert for next Thursday no matter what Brett Butler has to
very
say.
Good, very good.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye-bye. See, not everybody hates Robert the Mailman.
I love him.
A lot of people like him.
Mm-hmm.
But don't even bother calling Robert, because you're never coming to my house to play cards. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hello?
Hello?
Is this me?
That's an immediate disqualification.
Oh,
sorry, but it is.
Yeah.
Sorry, sucker.
Is this me?
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Just dive in.
Well, you know that. Look in your underpants.
Of course
it's you.
Look at that. Look at that little thing. That's me.
Don and Mike, hi.
Hey there, boo-boo.
Yes.
And Mike, how you doing?
Fine.
I just want to let you guys know that please take it easy on your doctor friend, the oral surgeon. It's very difficult. It's very unlike a dentist. Those guys have a tough job. Not many bones are as curved as that. You need the mandible and your mouth to
speak. Listen, before you start taking up for these guys, I'll tell you that I was the host. I wasn't the one that was ball busting last night. It was the other guys that were busting his balls.
Right.
The one guy,
and especially how much you like to smoke your cigars and drink, you're going to need that guy close one day to fight your squamous cell carcinoma.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Nice. Yeah, something to think about. Something
all
to think
right.
about.
The one guy who was the oral surgeon, when he would win, the other guys would bust his balls, saying, "Well, how many crowns did you fill today?" And then the one guy says, "I replaced two kneecaps today." And the other guy said, "I actually did a brain, whatever it was, whatever this complicated." And the other guy says, "I did spinal surgery today. How many cavities did you fill today?" So it was like between the four of them.
Are they really busting each other's chops?
They do that.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike. Well, but you know that your wife works for a doctor.
No,
they do that.
It's fun to hear them talk and put each other down depending on what they do.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don.
Yes, hi.
Hi, my kid's poop turned green from the Hulk chocolate syrup yesterday. He's 2 years old. I'm trying to potty train him, and his poop came out as green as the syrup, and he's been drinking that ever since we got it 2 days ago.
God. That's just wrong. The Hulk syrup turned child's BM green.
Green BM.
Wow. Hello, Don and Mike's show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, great. Hi, guys.
Hi.
I was in New York last weekend gambling at one of the Indian casinos, and I was thinking how much fun that would be to do a casino night for, like, a wedding reception. Because I think you can hire some companies to come in.
They do that all the time.
Yeah.
What do you think about? You think the popularity of that would be fun enough? I want something different. This is the second wedding for me.
I'd love it.
And you know, and I've listened to you guys talk about the poker night and stuff like that, and I love to gamble.
But here's the thing: if let's say that I'm at your wedding, and I am going to be going to the DeBroyhill Herndon nuptial soon,
they will have a casino.
If there was a casino at the wedding, if it was like serious cash money,
see, I don't think they can do that.
No, they can't.
No,
you got to play funny money.
I'm talking about actually, like, I'm a pet sitter. That's what I do for a living. By the way, is your son still looking for a job?
Oh, a pet sitter.
Doesn't he like animals?
That'd be right up the Lazy Child Avenue.
I can't have anybody that's lazy. I probably walk 8 miles a day.
Oh, no, that counts him out.
Yeah.
Well, what I would want to do is probably, since, you know, I've been down this road before, I've done all the wedding gifts. I don't need any of that now. Raising money for my favorite charity, like a local rescue league.
If somebody loses, they're going to be sore, and you don't want your wedding remembered that way.
You know, if it's
but I want it to be fun and different.
Yeah. Just do it like with Monopoly money for prizes, and listen, just, you know, who am I to say, but gambling is always tainted by charity. You know, gambling should be what it is. It's you either win
or greed. Pure avarice.
You win or you lose. Last call. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you if you allowed your guests to double down or split pie.
I certainly did allow him to double down. You bet.
How did that work out?
Took his money both times.
Cool.
Anybody split?
One guy did split, and he won.
There you go.
He won when he split, but the guy who doubled down lost on both hands.
Cool. We love you here in Salt Lake.
Pardon me?
We love you here in Salt Lake.
There's a big gambling town.
Yeah. Enjoy us. Enjoy us while we're on out there.
Hey, Nevada's only about an hour away.
Right.
Okay, see you later.
See ya.
Thank you for the call, my friend. We got to break here. We're going to try to hold the show together today. We'll band-aid the show together without Brett Butler. Before we get to Secret Sound, Mike.
I'm so disappointed.
Would you like a free sneak peek? A listen to the brand new Secret Sound?
I would indeed.
I have to stand over here because I want to make eye contact with Mike when he hears it. Best Secret Sound ever.
Here's the latest clicking sound.
Mm-hmm. Here it is.
All right.
For the first time ever, Secret Sound number 4.
Click, click.
No, no.
We love that joke.
Click, click, click.
No, here it is. Really, for the first time ever, Secret Sound number 4.
Useless.
Look how mad Mike is. And even Buzz is now starting to get an attitude about this.
Yeah. Breaking a squirrel's femur.
There it is. Oh. The Secret Sound. Identify it and win $1,000.
That could be a bone breaking. Yeah. We're just going to reset the finger, sir, just a little bit here. Let me I'm terribly sorry.
Phone number 877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller now. You get a shot at $1,000. Call now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
Right. 347. You know, the weather, D.C., Baltimore, Philly, Ocean City, it's almost the same everywhere. I mean, did you get that awful storm last night?
Man, that was intense.
Our dogs are going nuts. Scattered storms tonight everywhere. Low in the 60s, partly cloudy, chance of rain tomorrow, high 86. Now in D.C., 83, Baltimore, 83, Philly, 84, and in Ocean City, make it 81.
Right.
And there's the
Don and Mike Show. To break the cycle of babies having babies. The Don and Mike Show.
And I'm as bad with Kiss as I am with the Beach Boys. I got suckered into the latest reissue of Kiss's greatest hits.
Are you going to go see him when they tour with Aerosmith?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll be there. I'm taking my kid and a friend of his to go see Kiss and Aerosmith.
Nah.
So I'm in the store the other day, and I see the big display, Kiss's greatest hits.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, I have Kiss double platinum. I have Kiss, their all-time greatest hits.
Mm-hmm.
I have the best of Kiss, and I'm looking at the package thinking, there are no songs on this that I don't have.
Right.
And it says digitally remastered.
Ah, wow.
Well, Kiss, the best of Kiss, the last one that I got.
That was also digitally
remastered.
Well, they know how to make money. I think Gene Simmons knows how to make a buck.
Amen. And I bought it anyway, and, you know, maybe it's psychological. I don't know. I was listening to that CD on my way in today in the car, and
I don't put them with Aerosmith, incidentally. I don't understand that. It just seems weird that they're touring with Aerosmith.
They're not the same genre, no. But it'll be a good show. Yeah. And I guess I'm like all the saps, that I put that CD in my car, and I go, you know what? I really can hear a difference.
I can hear a crystal clarity that is unbelievable.
No, for all I know, they just dubbed off a cassette tape onto the DVD or into the CD or whatever the hell it is. And anyway, I got it. I bought it. Because I'm dumb.
Kiss and Aerosmith, sponsored by AARP.
Time now for a call 100. And here we go. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there. You're the 100th caller.
Fantastic.
Yeah, what's your name?
Kelly,
where are you from?
I'm from Germantown.
Beautiful, on WJFK FM.
Of course.
Here you go, Kelly. You got dinner for four at the Outback Steakhouse. It's not Woo-hoo. Dad's day without the one-of-a-kind taste that Outback Filet and Bloomin' Onion bring you. Doors
awesome.
Open. 11. See Mike there, incidentally.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
He'll be at all the Outbacks this weekend.
Right.
You've also won the Divid box set of Sex and the City, the fourth season. An exciting new release from HBO Home Video. Plus, hold on a second. Oh, honey, are you ready to be covered with beer?
More steak?
Third row tickets before you can buy them to see Poison with Vince Neil and Skid Row.
That is a
good deal.
Color me excited. Friday, August 8th, at Nissan Pavilion. Tickets go on sale Saturday at noon.
I'll be there.
Oh, hello, Stampede City.
I'll be there with Carry Out from Outback.
Go to NissanPavilion.com. Now you'll play for $1,000.
Awesome.
With the brand new secret sound, the dreaded clicking sound.
Yes.
No clues because we're offering $1,000. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Play the sound. Wish you good luck. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
Tupac.
And here you go. Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
Ah, there it is, the brand new sound. Oh, speaking of Tupac, today we're going to have a little Rapper's Delight special. I've got an article that you're going to like. 48 hours with Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Ain't got nothing but love for you, baby. I'm down for yours. Nothing but love.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I just want to tell our audience, he's white.
I know. Hard to tell. Yes,
hard to believe.
Hi, what school do you go to?
Hey, what is your guess?
My guess is the opening of a Ziploc bag.
Oh.
Oh, we're sorry.
Not a chance.
It's the first one.
Not a chance in hell. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. It's the first one, and we thank you for that. Don't forget that every guest is
a clue for you.
For you.
It's
Hi,
a,
Kelly.
It's a prairie dog's femur.
Yeah, I got this thing. Mr. Skin's online. We'll get to him, I promise, in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. I got this article about Snoop. And I'm sure you've heard all the stuff about Snoop, that he's changed,
right,
that he's not on weed anymore, that he's a businessman now.
Is he still producing porn, though?
He's a father. Well, there's an article. Someone went to the set of MTV's Doggy Fizzle Televizzle to investigate that mysterious smell originating from Snoop's trailer.
Oh dear!
He was cooking. And well, Buzz, you're going to find out. I don't. No. Wrong smell.
Wasn't that either?
But I think it's funny. It's a lot of great Snoop quotes.
Or cheesy.
I got that for you in a second. Now here it is Thursday,
yay.
And I'm like that Hank Brett Butler, toothache or no toothache. Jim McBride always joins us on
he
Thursday.
He is always as regular as rain.
The originator, the inventor of the world's greatest website, www.mrskin.com. And here he is now. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Let me ask you first. This has been Brett Butler was going to be on our show today. She came up with a lame excuse about a toothache.
Mm-hmm.
Or something more serious that apparently neither Mike or I are important enough to be
privy to.
To privy to. Yeah, right. Thanks, Mike. So, you got any pictures of her?
No, unfortunately, she has not done a nude scene in her career.
Yeah, we're all the poorer for it.
Yeah, she's been really hasn't been in that many R-rated movies or had much of a chance, but no nudity from her.
And, you know, even though I'm temporarily mad at her, trust me, I'll get over it because she's not on the show today. We'll fill the hole with the Snoop Dogg Dog thing. But I think, as I remember that show she was on, Grace Under Fire, she had some jugs. I mean,
well, I think she made lots of jokes about her breasts.
You don't F the face, and she had some nice...
She's big boned.
She reportedly exposed them on the set, too. Yeah, that's right. Still the subject of some legal action.
Yeah, and like to the little kid that was working on the show.
She doesn't have any pictures of that, unfortunately.
That's the allegation.
No. No one does.
Jimmy, what's new in the... anything in the theaters at all?
Well, the big movie hitting theaters tomorrow is Hollywood Homicide. It stars Harrison Ford and Josh Hartnett, and after viewing it, I thought they should have named it Dumb and Dumberer, but that was already taken by the other movie that is out. Now, Hollywood Homicide is PG-13. There's no skin in that.
Boring.
Dumb and Dumber also is a PG-13 movie. It's the sequel to the 1994 Jim Carrey, Jeff Daniels movie, Dumb and Dumber.
Well, see this. They did find a kid who looks just like Jim Carrey.
Yeah, it looks like it might be funny.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. Now, I was hoping Mimi Rogers plays one of the kids' moms.
Mm.
And I was hoping, you know, I knew PG-13, but I was hoping we'd see something. But unfortunately, the Jolly Rogers do not make an appearance.
You know, after your last appearance, though, when we saw Mimi Rogers, I feel like I've been dating her.
Hey, you know, Jim, about Mimi Rogers and when you were on the show last week, I'm looking at all of them on your site, and I'm thinking they're all beautiful. I'm talking, of course, about the breasts, not about the women, but the breasts.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as natural beauty of a breast, would you say that Mimi Rogers is in your top three?
Well, I don't know if she's in my top three. What I love about her nude scenes in Full Body Massage is the fact that she did have real breasts, and they're huge, and she let a guy fondle them and oil them while you're watching it, which is like unprecedented. I mean, that doesn't happen.
God bless her.
Are they in a league with Jennifer Connelly? No, but they're still amazing.
Well, I like them big like that.
I do too.
I like them cow big.
I'll join. Wow. Cow big.
I really do.
Do you like world record big?
No. I tell you what.
Do you like Morgana big?
No, because those are fake.
Yeah. Well, you see when you say cow big. You
know. But Mimi Rogers is natural, and those are...
They're big, yeah.
That's as big as I like to go, but those are amazing.
I think it's very, very American for men to like large breasts.
And once again, I know I say this all the time, but last night I had a bunch of guys over at my house playing blackjack last night, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I went over by the computer... And I was just showing off to these guys because I got the password. I said, go ahead, name any actress. Who's your favorite actress? And one of the names that came up was, what's her name? Heather, the girl from I Love Her.
Heather Graham?
The Austin Powers, Heather Graham.
Oh, yeah. And me softly.
Said, no, as a matter of fact, not only are there great pictures, I have them. It's all my favorites.
Right.
The pages are my favorites.
There you go.
I click right on it. These guys are amazed with the site. So I'm doing my best.
Oh. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
You're trying to distract the doctors so they play poorly.
They did. Jimmy, if there's nothing in the theaters, wow, I'm looking ahead.
I got to say, this is one of the better DVD weeks I'm going to be able to come up with. You're not going to get much better than this. So let me start. There's three new DVDs I want to talk about. The first... out at the new release section of your favorite video store is the movie Old School with Luke Wilson, Will Ferrell, and Vince Vaughn.
And this is, now you have the unrated version, right?
Yeah, but there really isn't, nudity-wise, it's not like a big difference. There's a few, like, angles, but nothing, there's not a huge difference from the, the two versions, so.
Oh, I love those natural breasts.
The thing about this movie, it's definitely, a boobapalooza. There's tons of anonymous babes naked a lot. It's great, great movie for nudity. I love the movie from a nudity standpoint. It's not really celebrity nudity because almost all the girls who've gotten naked you haven't heard of, but that's fine. The one that has a little bit of celebrity is a girl named Lisa Donitz. Now, she's the blonde during the KY Jelly wrestling match scene. And she takes her top off. It's a really nice scene. Now, the reason she has a little celebrity is she has been romantically linked to Andy Dick.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that is sad.
She gets naked, but as a bonus for you guys, I know you're fans of 24 and the daughter of Kiefer Sutherland on 24.
Alicia Cuthbert, right.
And she has a scene where she strips down in this to her underwear and lays on the bed.
I remember when this movie came out, I think I asked
about it. Vince Vaughn, right?
With Owen Wilson.
Remember,
she's the girl that the college girl, and she's wearing a pink top and a pink pair of underpants. If you go to MrSkin.com, she's not naked, but you sure do see her BM maker.
Yep.
and she's
got a little creepage going there. It's great.
Oh, she's going to have a brown spot in the middle of his underpants.
Oh, my God.
The only thing that ruins this picture is the fact that Owen Wilson's face is in it.
Luke Wilson.
Right. Yeah. The one without the bad nose. And, Jim, I like in the upper left-hand corner, you've got the picture.
Will Ferrell's body.
Will Ferrell's ass as he's streaking.
Yeah.
Love it. Love Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah,
thank you. Great, but tons of nudity. High marks for old school. I'm a big fan from a nudity standpoint.
So right there, you go to MrSkin.com and you can see the two chicks that were in the KY thing and as close as you're going to see to Alicia Cuthbert naked.
Exactly. Now, there's another movie called... another movie out on DVD this week, kind of funny, The Baywatch Hawaiian Wedding, which aired on television a few months back, is now on DVD this week. And to give you an idea of just the script writing that went into this, let me just run this by you. The plot is that David Hasselhoff, Mitch Buchanan, did not die in a car explosion in the 10th season. He's been recovering from amnesia in L.A., heads back to Hawaii to get married. So, I mean, this is one of those movies where you can watch this with the sound down, because what happens is in this movie, all in bikinis is Pam Anderson, Yasmine Bleeth, Carmen Electra, Nicole Eggert, Gina Lee Nolan, to name a few. Basically, all the babes from Baywatch that you care about.
My God, the silicone on that suit must have been amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing, but definitely you do not need to have the sound up to watch this, but it's still great. I highly recommend it, because even like if you look at Pam Anderson's bikini in this, she's got a thong going in the back, and it nearly covers her breasts. It's fun to watch.
You can see through that. Now, Jim, what's your opinion on Pam Anderson's boobs? I still think her face looks like a ventriloquist dummy, but even with the boobs which she's had reduced, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. She's had them replaced, reduced, it's been an ongoing thing.
How do you rate them?
I'm not a big fake breast fan, but as far as fake breasts go, they're a little too big for my taste, but she looks great. I think she looks better with clothes on. You know what I'm saying?
I think her boobs are so fake looking.
Yeah, really they're so fake. But I will say this. Early in her career, if you ever see when she was in, when she was doing the Playboy centerfold stuff, she was amazing and really sexy. But I'm not crazy about the huge robo hooters.
Right.
And plus, you have to think about how many skanky D's have been all over her. rocker Tommy Lee.
And she likes the rockers.
Brent Michael.
Troubled rockers.
All those guys. Well,
not to mention a Chachi Arcola.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Chachi.
Now, the last one.
I've been waiting for this for a while. Now, last year when I did my Anatomy Awards, I voted Frida the best movie for nudity in 2002. And it is finally out on DVD this weekend.
Now, Jim, you should know that part of this is funny. My wife's name, although it's not spelled the same way, my wife for 22 years, her name is Frida. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about, it's funny, out of context, when you talk about how hot Frida is, and if Frida's naked, we want to make sure that we say it's Selma Hayek in the movie Frida. But
playing the Mexican painter Frida Kahlo, and they did throw a unibrow on Selma to make her look more like Frida Kahlo. But I'll tell you, this Frida Kahlo is an interesting character. She, painted earlier this century, but she not only had many affairs with men, but she dabbled in the woman aspect, and it's great because in this scene she has an affair, or in this movie she has an affair with an actress who's supposed to be Josephine Baker, is loosely related, is based on Josephine Baker, and it is so hot. The two, and I know there's a lot of guys that are fans of Salma Hayek. She did do a brief nude scene in Desperado back in the mid-90s, but this movie, she's making a ton, and that scene in bed is ridiculous.
You know, I'm looking in the upper left-hand corner here, and it says tuna. Why is that? What is that exactly?
Yeah. It's just the guy that did the collage. It's no relation to what you see in bed.
Though. Okay.
Here's the thing with Selma Hayek, and man, that's more great boobs.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to Dogma.
And hers are real, right?
You know what? We said the real at the website. It's she's one of those where it could go either way. It's a
right.
tough call, but I'm always suspicious of perfect breasts, and she has them.
Right.
If you remember the movie Dogma, at one point when Chris Rock and Silent Bob and Jay are in this titty bar, Selma Hayek turns her back to them, I think the scene in Dogma is, and opens up her shirt, and you're just dying for her to turn around so you can see what she's got.
Right.
Well, listen, anybody that's seen her in that or any of these other movies, go to MrSkin.com. You just type in the name Selma Hayek, and... Jim, I know you got more than just what you showed us here.
Oh, yeah, we got tons of pics. There's so much from this, but I think I sent you guys the ones with
the best one.
Where she's in bed, because it is hot.
She's just laying in bed. She's got her hand between her legs. She's just so
My
nasty.
God, look at that look.
She is so nasty. Jim,
wow.
You have time for a call or two?
Sure.
All right, and let's see if our audience, please don't embarrass us this week with Jim. Hello, you're on with Mr. Skin.
Hi. John and Mike. How you doing?
Please don't.
Mr. Skin. How about
don't...
from...
embarrass us, please.
Okay. How about some bubbling brown sugar of Vivica A. Fox?
Yeah, Booty Call. Check out a movie.
Yeah.
Booty Call.
Is that it?
You know what I mean? Well, remember that Tom Cruise movie, Born on the 4th of July?
Yeah.
She plays a stripper in there, and there's a brief scene where you could see it. It's a little dark, though, tough to see, and she wasn't a big name at the time, but definitely Booty Call for Vivica. That's her best movie for Skinny. She's a nice breast shot while she's straddling this dude.
All right, there's your answer. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on with Mr. Skin.
Good afternoon.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just have a quick question. I'm absolutely amazed at Mr. Skin's ability to answer questions when you ask about specific actresses, like when you had asked about Brett Butler earlier.
Yeah.
And I wanted to find out if Mr. Skin had ever considered putting together a Mr. Skin Trivial Pursuit game.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I've actually even talked to a few people about it. We have so many things going on, I've never got around to doing it, but it would be fun. The only problem is I've noticed this, and even guys that go to movies, this is the one thing that concerns me about it. Even guys that see movies, I'm amazed they don't remember the nude scenes. Like, I'll tell them an actress has been naked in a movie, and they've seen the movie, and they'd go like, oh, yeah, that's right, she was naked. And that, to me, the only thing I remember about the movie is the actress naked. So I'm just worried that I hope the game wouldn't be too hard.
All right, one more. Here we go with Jim Skin, with Jim McBride. Mark.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mr. Skin. Congratulations on your recent wedding. I was actually curious if Daphne from Frasier has ever done any nudity. I'd love to see those English muffins.
Wow.
Hi, golden boy.
What is that broad's name? It's Jane? Is
Jane Leaves.
That's Jane right. Leaves, yeah.
Jane Leaves. Yeah, actually, it's funny. Remember the Betty Hill show? She was a bit player on the Benny Hill show and got down to her bra and panties and that. Also,
he's unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, also a movie called To Live and Die in L.A., a cool movie from the
80s. I love that movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she was in her bra and panties, but no nudity, surprising. And it's surprising because she's from the U.K. You know, every actress from the U.K. gets naked at some point. So, but no nudity yet from Jane.
I didn't know she was.
Thank you very much.
To Live and Die in L.A. William Peterson, Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, she has a great blonde panty scene in that.
That's a weird one. Out of all the chicks in the world, Daphne from Frasier.
No, that's right. Cool. I hate being asked the same. I like being asked obscure ones. That's fun.
You know, I don't want to sound gay.
Go ahead.
But when we're talking
it's
about
too late
to Live and Die in L.A., I think you see William Peterson naked in that. full frontal.
I don't remember that.
Good for you, Jim. Thanks for throwing me under the bus, Jim.
Guys, the website, we talk about it every week. www.mrskin.com. I promise, unlike most of the hacks that we have on this show, you will never be disappointed in mrskin.com.
Never. True.
I live there. I live there. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I learned this, that they had this thing on computers. I'm so dumb with computers. I didn't know that you've got this thing on the left-hand side, a bar on the left-hand side where you can actually pull up where you've been the last couple of weeks.
Right.
And my wife has pointed out to me that the three sites that I go to the most often are NFL.com,
right.
CigarFamily.com, that's the Fuente Cigar site,
right.
And MrSkin.com. That there was one thing in particular, and now I don't get my jerk on when I go watch MrSkin.com. It's just curiosity. But one time in one day, I logged on to Jim's site 8 times.
There you
she
go.
She said, why? And I said, well, because I was checking my mail, and, like, it's there. And
you're doing show prep.
And I had a, well, not even that, Jim. I just had a thought about a girl. You know, just,
and, you know, if you want to explore, that's the place to go.
Anyway, great. I think we're over 6,000 actresses now. It's like about 60,000 pages. It's getting crazy.
You're stable, Mr. Skin.
It's the best. All right, we'll see you next week, Jim.
All right, thanks.
All right,
take care, guys.
Bye-bye. There he is.
Wow.
Mr. Skin. No kidding. Hey, he's the best.
How did he pull that from Benny Hill? My God.
He's the best guest we have. And I do live on his site. I mean, that is really an honest testimonial. But I'll just go on there. Sometimes we're watching TV.
Right.
And you see a girl on TV and you think,
what's her name?
You know, I wonder what she looks like naked.
Right.
So you get her name.
Have you ever done Catherine Bell?
Oh, from JAG?
Has she been naked?
Mm-mm.
Oh, bummer.
Never. Although he's got shots of her in her underwear, though.
You're wrong, though.
Really?
She did a body doubling thing in Death Becomes Her. Now, you don't see her face, but it is her.
You see her body.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, but see, it doesn't count because I want
to. It counts.
That might be. Is that on Jim's site?
Yeah.
I think I might have seen that as well.
It counts.
I think we found out somebody else is doing a little search.
I visit. we all visit.
Well, I got my password and I'm getting back into
cool.
it this week.
Cool. MrSkin.com. Oh, before we break, Robert the mailman has a message. It says for Mike.
Okay, very good.
Robert.
I wasn't for Mike. It's for Don, silly ass. I got a response for you telling me that I'm not going to play cards on your house ever. Only asked once, remember, pal? And I got something for you. Robert. I wrote some stuff down. I read your mind. I know why you don't want me to come over your house.
Robert. He knows why.
I got the top 10 reasons why you don't want me over your house.
Damn, Robert, it was a
and
joke.
And I will, if you want a taste, I'll give you a taste, but I got something for you, Don. I'm tired.
Robert, let's hear him. I want to hear him.
Go ahead.
You want one of them?
Yeah, give me one of them.
I'm not going to get... You want me to wait till next week or I'll give you one now?
Yeah, give me one now. Well, what's one of the reasons I don't want you at my house?
Scared the darky will jump in my pool.
Well, tell her me
guilty. I think that's a little example of what we can look forward to.
Tell her me guilty. I'll see you next Thursday, Robert.
All right, pal.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye. There he is.
Jump
there
in the pool.
There he is, my friend.
That is too damn funny.
No darkies in the pool.
That is too funny.
Rob, I need you to make me some signs this weekend.
There you go.
I'll send you my sign. Okay.
Already has one.
Listen, when we come back, it was supposed to be... horse face, Brett Butler. Now we'll instead we'll. I got this thing. It's funny as hell about Snoop. But look at the pictures of this guy. I mean, look at this.
Ah, to be Snoop Dogg.
And you're supposed to believe that he's reformed.
Yeah.
That he's turned his life around.
You know what? I heard a quote from Snoop Dogg. His pimp hand is strong.
I like him the way that he was, and I guess the way. That he still is.
I think so.
And anyway, they found some writer somewhere, and Snoop gave him 48 hours, and it's a real insight into the life of Snoop.
I think everybody is fascinated with Snoop.
Looks yeah, good. It's pretty good. So we'll get to that in a second. And I almost forgot Cheryl, the big dyke.
Yeah.
We didn't finish up her tape. Yeah. We'll do that today as well. It's 4:13, and we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Nutrition tapeworm having overdose Dick Gregory Bahamian diet drinking ass up. Leave me alone.
The Don and Mike Show.
Is anyone listening?
865-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Robbie, we're doing something here. Those don't work or they do work?
That doesn't work. I think that amp is fried. Stay where you are now and I'll have Wendell get a new amp.
Don?
Yes, Mike.
Don't move. I got a technical problem here, but
stay where you are.
I'll work through it. Because I'm a pro.
Are you having trouble hearing?
What? It's the Don and Mike Radio Network on WJFK FM Washington
with your phones.
What? Live 105 Baltimore. WYSP Philadelphia. 96 Rock Ocean.
Rest easy and know that every broadcast brings you one day closer to the peaceful, tranquil, eternal sleep of the dead.
Right.
So enjoy the Don and Mike Show.
During the break, we spent some time on MrSkin.com.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, if you type in the name, you'll see Catherine Bell is nude.
Yeah, there's one where she's like a body double, and there's another one where you can see her face.
And you can also see she's definitely had a boob job.
Yeah.
She was on the TV show. Remember the awful HBO show that at the time everybody used to watch for naked chicks? Dream On.
Right. Oh, horrible show.
Here she is on Dream On, and look at these pancake boobs.
Yeah. I'm very, very surprised. She's obviously had some work done.
And compare them to what you see now.
Mm-hmm.
And also from MrSkin.com, here's her ass from a movie called Hotline The Brunch Club. And that's not where she's being a body double. That's just really her ass.
That and no work done on that.
No, perfect. We stand corrected. There is Catherine Bell. She's naked.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, dog. I need some rap.
Yo, yo, yo.
I know it's like the last thing we got in this studio.
Yo, yo, yo.
Got anything that's even remotely? Well, here you go. Hold on. I'll get something here. I get something at least soulful going here. Hold on a second. Let me find something. To get a little... Oh, here you go. I got it. Okay. The Brothers Johnson will help.
I like the Brothers Johnson.
To set the tone for the Snoop Dogg 48-hour interview. Here we go.
Hey!
Wrong. Hold on a second.
What are you looking for, a hit?
No, well, not even really a hit. No.
That's not the Brothers Johnson.
No, it's not. Hold on a second. There you go. Oh, you know what I had to do? I had to push the magic button to make it work.
Tell him if Sabian's not here in 20 minutes, you die. I don't want to talk to anyone else but Sabian.
There it is. You see our program director in Philadelphia. He hates anything rhythmic.
Right.
This is Sabian here.
That's him. How you doing, buddy? All right, 48 hours with Snoop. Let me see. They visited the set of MTV's Doggy Fizzle Televizzle to investigate the origin of that mysterious smoke seeping from the Dogfather's trailer.
The Dogfather.
Mm-hmm. A lot of great quotes from Snoop here.
What is it, Televizzle?
Doggy Fizzle Televizzle.
Doggy Fizzle. How do you not like Snoop?
let me see. We're at home in the show's temporary home base, a parking lot across from a mortuary that the production is filled with trailers. Snoop arrives miraculously close to the call time, in good spirits, despite an all-night recording session at a nearby church. He heads into hair and wardrobe while the director juggles the schedule to accommodate Snoop's uncharacteristically prompt appearance. I come when I want, I do what I want, Snoop states. I'm 100% in charge. And S, it's the Doggy Fizzle. In fact, the 2 days that we're on set, that's the one and only use of Snoop speak, the dog's grammar rules-free language. Though it sounds convoluted, the wordplay is built around one simple rule. It's fun to say izzle.
Izzle. There you go. Is that the rule?
I like that. Apparently so.
12:30 p.m., first day.
That's fizzle.
Chino, Neighborhood Rec Center. For the first skit of the day on his TV show, Snoop is playing chess against giant bags of bud. Or more accurately, bags of moss from Home Depot. As far as the public is concerned, Snoop swore off pot months ago.
Right.
And the sketch is meant to illustrate how he's mentally tougher than the addiction. The trouble is, Snoop Dogg doesn't know how to play chess. And the weed, even though it's harmless, is winning.
Uh-oh.
Just as we are pondering the profundity of that metaphor, the preschool class next door begins blaring a Barney movie, and the show's audio is soon drowned out by the dinosaur songs. Snoop sends a stagehand to shut them up. You better leave those kids alone, Snoop says. Y'all some heartless bitches. I ain't down with that.
No.
Touchingly, the 31-year-old father of three and coach of his son's peewee football team is sincere in his love for children. You got to work hard and put yourself in the position where you don't have to take orders, he advises. I want kids to know that's what I did. Legally, I went from dealing drugs to finding my way out of the ghetto, and I had fun doing it. That's right, everybody.
Fun.
Big Snoop is ready to be a role model.
There you go. Yeah.
117, off to the rec center gym. It's in between shoots of his MTV TV show, and Snoop is pacing at boxing ring, looking for more action after once again proving his dominance over the reefer by pounding a bag labeled weed. He begins mixing it up with a speed bag. Yeah, Suge Knight, take it, he says, swinging harder. Take it, you effing bitch. For a man who keeps insisting he wants to watch his kids grow up, picking a fight with hip-hop's most notorious thug might not be the wisest course of action. Muttering at a punching bag in a remote gym is one thing, but then he released Pimp Slapped, a ditty calling the man a bitch like his wife.
Uh-oh.
I don't have a problem with him, Snoop says. He's had the problem with me. I'm just defending myself. And if a preemptive defense is a good enough excuse for U.S. foreign policy, it's goddamn well good enough for me.
For the dog.
I'm anxious to hear how he feels about my record, Snoop said. But I'm too busy working to sit around and wait for him to come back at me. If we're going to come together and have some peace, I'm wide open for it. If it goes the other way, I'd rather avoid it. But I'm ready. It's clear Mr. Dog has no trouble making enemies. 2 weeks after uttering this statement, gunmen in Los Angeles pulled up alongside his motorcade and opened fire, missing the dog father, but shooting his bodyguard. 4:04 p.m., Snoop's trailer. Filming is put on hold while Snoop takes an impromptu midday nap. Coming as it does on the heels of his morning nap, this leaves Snoop particularly well-rested. At last, your humble reporter is warmly invited to visit his on-set inner sanctum, a trailer guarded by two off-duty cops sitting in director's chairs. When the door opens, Snoop says, suck me. In dog speak, suck me is a multifunctional phrase that can mean hello, goodbye, stop ticking me off. It's like his aloha.
Wow.
In this instance,
read what you will into that one.
In this instance, it seems to be a greeting.
Suck me.
Inside the trailer, wide, low-slung couches provide ample room for Snoop's entourage.
Good.
The greasy smell of day-old Popeye's chicken and biscuits mixes with the distinct musky aroma of herb. And in the background, Judge Judy and Judge Joe Brown are on two different CDs, while Snoop's latest CD, Paid the Cost to Be the Boss, blares on the stereo. The real-life Snoop sings along with himself enthusiastically. It's kind of a chronic-induced karaoke. Above it all, you can hear the whirr of the trailer's most overworked feature, the exhaust fan. We settle in as a barber meticulously trims Snoop's facial hair.
I hate bad writing.
Eventually, the grooming ends, and the dog father does a careful inspection. Goddamn goatee, he says. You have any idea how much P-U-S-S I had to eat to get this thing?
Wow.
Clearly, the formal portion of our interview has begun. The tape recorder clicks on, and Snoop passes over a blunt he's just puffed. It's an immediate moment that nullifies any of his claims that he's off reefer. Realizing what he's done, his eyes become as big as saucers. It's a remarkable transformation. Usually he seems to have difficulty keeping his eyes open at all. But Snoop and the reporter have come to an understanding. We settle back onto the couch and take turns puffing and passing. Everyone hates a buzzkill, but I have to ask, what happened to sober Snoop? Quote, I was coaching my son's football team and I didn't want to go to practice smelling like weed. I didn't want to be coaching the kids when I was high, so I stopped. Now I have more control. I don't need it. If I want to get high, I choose to. But it's not like it used to be where I was getting high every day. All right, it was more like I was getting high every 5 minutes. So obviously, Snoop Dogg is back on pot, right? Dog, I said I stopped. And until I say I started, I still have stopped.
As but, he's smoking.
Yeah, but then the reporter writes, but, you're smoking pot right now. His response?
Yes.
Suck me. There you go. This time, it's a warning.
Yeah, he's out of control.
Dog, I've stopped as far as the public is concerned. I stopped because I didn't want to get high anymore. If I decide I want to get high again, it's my own personal decision.
Yeah, figure this out.
Those who support me are going to be down with me whether I smoke weed or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the smoky haze that makes this logic hard to follow. Nonetheless, Snoop tells us, this discussion is clearly over.
Oh, man.
6 p.m. Chino, California. It's time to finish the TV show's final sketch, which features Snoop working a taco stand dressed as Big Jeffrey, a ratty pimp with buck teeth and a fashion sense that's questionable even for a pimp. The crew is set to film an elaborate fast food worker goes number one in lemonade, then sticks his Johnson and corn dog batter gag.
Oh, dear.
But it seems that Snoop has gone AWOL. He must be working up an appetite, the director explains. He says it happens all the time. He's undiscouraged by it. Snoop drives up to the set 45 minutes later.
Snoop.
7:21 p.m. Parking lot. Desperate to escape the taco stand where hunks of raw chicken fester in the sink, the reporter and the dog father retreat to the Snoop DeVille. A customized caddy with three TV screens, a DVD player, and low-set mink seats. Snoop offers up the driver's seat, a gracious gesture, considering he loves being top dog.
Snoop DeVille.
This is, after all, a man who's abandoning his gig with Girls Gone Wild because he can't have complete authority. I've outgrown them, he says of the Jiggle Fests. But is he seriously willing to quit just because he can't handpick the teats? I got to be in control of everything I do. And if I can't, F it. It's no surprise when Snoop starts directing from the passenger side. Anyone driving the Snoop DeVille must master the lean. Your reporter has a pasty white elbow hanging out the window, a hand on the stereo, and an ass slumped so low in the seat, it's impossible to see over the steering wheel. That's it. You're cool, baby, Snoop purrs. Now, get the hell out of my car.
Oh, wow.
As I leave, he waves and says,
Shades of Elvis.
Suck me.
Suck me.
There you go.
That's the
Snoop.
Very nice.
Snoop. Wow.
Perfect sense to me.
That's the
world of Snoop.
48 hours with a
little bit of denial there. Maybe just a little bit of denial.
I
should
mention that.
It's an advanced copy of it.
Well done. Thanks to FHM for the advanced copy.
Very cool. That is very cool. He is a funny guy.
Anyway, so that's an advanced copy of a...
Into a lot of stuff.
48 hours of Snoop.
Suck me.
Suck me.
Hold on. I forgot the first part. 5:40 p.m. on Monday. Snoop Dogg has a case of the stupids. After a full day of filming MTV's new half-hour comedy, Doggy Fizzle Televizzle.
Doggy Fizzle Televizzle.
The weary crew is piled into a furniture warehouse 35 miles east of L.A. for one last shoot. Short, sweet. Just have Snoop read the goddamn cue cards. There's only one problem. He's giggling like a schoolgirl. He stumbles over the same simple line three times. Quitting weed was the best thing I've ever done.
Oh, God.
Given the discussions we'll find over the next 2 days, it's clear why he can't deliver the line with a straight face. It's a televisual trademark that never fails to amuse.
Televisual.
Stoner issues sarcastic warnings about the peril of drugs. For an earlier sketch, a Whitney Houston lookalike with powder caked under her nose suggested taking a part-time job shoveling snow. But Doggy Fizzle, of which Snoop has complete creative control, isn't just good-natured narcotics gag. There's also street humor, like when the dog transforms into prostitution, superhero, Captain Pimp. Not to mention plenty of unrehearsed interactions with very confused white people, such as the time Snoop takes a group of white old women to a strip club for a sketch called Golden Biatches.
Oh, wow.
Tonight, however, the dog is just trying to fit outlining a 12-step program for kicking the chronic weed. Step number four, donate your stash to charity and build a children's hospital out of weed.
Yeah.
On camera, Snoop boasts an impressive dry wit and instinctive feel for comedic Tommy. Off topic, he's a bitch. The dog father has been retreated to his cloistered trailer between every take, clearly indifferent to the reporter sent to interview him. Now, with the day winding down, the rapper ambles over, freestyling in his trademark slow snarl. Shut the F up, bitch, and let the pimping commence. Suck me. Somehow he manages to make that sound smooth, even a little sweet. Don't worry, my princess, he says with a hug that's an elaborate windy thing. We'll talk tomorrow. All extravagant in his oversized tracksuit. It almost makes everything okay. Hey, Snoop, suck me.
Very good. My God. Suck me.
That's pretty good.
I think we're going to have to steal that.
That's some pretty good stuff.
New admiration. Good night, everybody. Suck me.
That's pretty good. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good reading. Are you kind of dyslexic?
What I'm doing, sir, is editing as I'm reading. There are words that I can't read on the radio.
Snoop has...
There's words that you couldn't spit out on the radio, though.
No, there's a lot of bad language in there. That's what he's talking about.
There's a lot...
I'm talking about, like, the easy words, though, like...
Like what?
Where you got I and E maybe confused or something?
Go ahead. Give me an example. I mean, I'm willing to hear your criticism as...
Now I'm kind of flustered. Well, I can't remember some of the words.
You know what I like best, and I'll share it with you. Suck me.
Here's the thing. I probably could have done a better job if I had read it in advance, but I enjoy sharing the moment.
It's much better that way.
With you.
Absolutely. Discovery.
And if you don't like the way I read, well, suck me. And keep in mind that as I'm reading this article from FHM, the future edition, there are words in here that I got to gloss over. I mean,
so, once again,
suck me.
Suck me.
Suck me. Hey, when are you guys coming back to Wichita?
I got a good answer for that. Suck me. Let me ask you a question.
Oh, no.
What's this? Hear it.
I'm gonna write something down, and you tell me if you can read this, okay?
Suck me.
Yeah, listen to that laugh.
Yeah.
Little psycho boy.
When did you give up weed, sir?
Oh, just recently. I was going to call Buzz about it.
Buzz, yeah, what'd you call?
Hold on.
And then your little psychotic laugh.
The giggle gives it away.
What a dick.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, you are.
There you go.
You're trying to turn your dyslexia and turn it around on
me. That was Mike. That was Mike talking.
And I'm not dyslexic.
Get the right guy.
I'm not dyslexic. There's pressure when I'm reading live on the radio.
You write down.
Well, actually.
Pressure when reading on the radio, huh?
Right. Yeah.
I never thought I'd hear you say that.
Yes, it's very true. Now, repeat after me. I wrote down something that's not hard ass. It's very, very true. I swear to God, it's the truth. W-E. Say the word, please. W-E.
We.
What is it?
We.
A-R-E.
R.
Q-U-I-T-T-I-N-G.
Quitting.
O-U-R.
R.
S-Y-N-D-I-C-A-T-I-O-N.
Syndication.
ESPECIALLY.
Especially.
TO.
Two.
YOUR.
Your.
CITY.
Oh, don't do it to me.
SO.
So.
Comma.
Comma.
UCK. ME.
Wow, you guys better not quit.
It's not a threat. I mean, and really, it's not brought on by your telephone call. I can take the heat. It's just, it's a fact.
Yeah,
it's something that's happening. So you might.
It's a really, more than anything else, kind of a business situation.
Yeah, but anyway, congratulations. You made it on the air. You'll be one of the last people to make it on the air during our national syndication. And I guess, well, what can I say? But G-U-D-B-I-E.
Goodbye.
Yeah, there you go. Bye-bye.
Am I supposed to hang up?
Yes, Giggles.
Yeah, I'm not going to be that guy. Hey, Jay, what's up? Late.
Pardon me?
That's some little message he had.
Gang code.
Don't know.
I'll miss him.
Hey, listen, I'm the first to tell you, I'm not good at this, because I don't pre-read it.
What's wrong?
Because I want to share it with
you. Well, and editing on the fly is the hardest thing to do in the world.
You see, amazed. Buy the article when it comes out, and see how many words are in there that we can't talk about on the radio.
I can always tell when you're editing that. And I can't imagine Snoop would use bad language, though.
I think it's funny, and you hit the nail on the head. He's so Elvis-like.
Oh, he's totally Elvis-like, you know. I mean, with the denial about pot, where he's just sitting
there. I love it.
He's having a blunt with the guy, and he's talking about pot.
I love it.
That is too funny.
Build the children's hospital out of weed.
I had no idea that they're for shizzle or televisal. Was all just to say, now I'm addicted to Snoop speak. I really am.
Suck me. It means everything. Hello, goodbye.
That's right.
I'm mad at you. I'm happy with you.
Ray Dizzle.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey. Suck me.
Yeah.
Hey, Buzz.
Yeah.
Suck me.
You suck me.
Hey, Rob. Yeah. Suck me.
See, everybody.
Everybody wants to play.
Everybody's speaking Snoop.
See, yeah, that's why Snoop is such a big hit, because he taps into what we all want to do.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how's it going, guys?
Hey,
I saw Doggy Fizzle the other night for the first time. That's the funniest goddamn show I've ever seen in my life.
So Doggy Fizzle Televizzle is on the air already?
Well, I saw it like maybe 3 weeks ago, and it was just, I was flipping through the channels. It was about 11 o'clock here on the Pacific Coast. But there was an episode where they had Snoop. He was actually did a contest to find somebody that looked the most like him. And they got this guy that looked, I mean, he was a ringer for him. And they were rolling around in his Cadillac or whatever it was.
Hold on. Snoop DeVille.
Yeah, Snoop DeVille.
And it's Snoop DeVille. There you go. And as they were rolling around, they ran into some thugs, some gangbangers, and he started talking a bunch of mess to them. And then he said, hold on, let me get out of the car. And he pushed the guy that looked like him right out of the car, and they just started beating the crap out of this guy.
You got to look at this picture, Mike, the picture where he's talking about Suge Knight. Here he is shooting the scene where he's boxing against the bag that has just some big, giant black letters, weed. He has weed.
Yeah, for his public image.
Yes.
Oh, man. Is he great? Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Hey, suck me.
Suck me. Hold on, Ed. You can't say that word. And he's not ruining it for everybody, as I said. We're certainly not going to not broadcast to your city because of that guy. We have other issues. I was just warning. It's kind of the way of warning everybody that it's winding down.
Really?
Yes.
That ain't good.
Yeah, in case you haven't picked up the subtle clues, such as the time checks, which only relate to a few cities, and the fact that we were only mentioning the call letters of a few radio stations.
Right.
Those are just some of the subtleties that we've been using recently.
Guess we'll just have to move to where the food is, huh?
You got it. Yep. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
See you later.
There's going to be a lot of people who are deprizzled.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, I hate to be an a-hole, and I know what you're going to say to me already, but you realize you spelled by D-I-E?
Come on.
Okay. Do you understand the concept of comedy?
No.
Let me explain it to you.
Where are you calling
from? He's calling from here.
I'm calling from D.C., but...
The guy calls me and says I can't read correctly. So, when I say goodbye to him, I spell it wrong on purpose. But I'm sorry that was so over your head.
My mother's a whore.
Okay, thank you.
That's a nice ending to the call.
Thank you.
Good way what to go out. Yeah. What an out right there.
You know, he's not the only
You know, really, that ought to be really the, if you really want to jettison, if you're in over your head and you want to get out, maybe that's what you say.
Hello, Don and Mike. I got to tell you what my wife told me the other day. Hello? Are you there?
Speak to us, please.
Hello, line five? Well, you're out. Remember the other day, somebody called and said something about WJFK. The radio station we do the show from.
Right.
And Mike said, it's for John F. Kennedy. And I was kidding. I said, you're kidding me.
Right.
I never knew that the whole time we were working here.
Right.
I got home that night. My wife, I swear to God, said to me, you never knew the JFK stood for John F. Kennedy? And I said to her, hello, McFly.
Right.
That was a joke. I mean, I like expect that from the people that listen to the show.
You know, dry wit is sometimes a very dangerous thing when people actually don't get it.
Right.
You know?
D-R-I-E.
Dry wit.
W-H-I-T. Dry wit.
Or actually dry whistle.
Hello, Dynamite.
I thought it was a lovely story, and you told it so well.
With such enthusiasm. Thank you, my friend. All right, one more. We got a break. Hi, Don and Mike.
Don?
Yes, and Mike.
Hey, baby.
Hi.
I was just wondering what's going on with Philly and Tim Sabian. If you guys are going to be taken off, I am going to be...
Yeah, listen, we're really not going to get into it. Philly is a separate issue. We'll know in the end of September.
Yeah, we will know in September, and, the best way to help us in Philadelphia is to listen to the show.
Gotcha. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Man, come on, dude. Tell me you guys aren't leaving. Come on, that's whack.
Now, listen, really, and I shouldn't have said anything to that guy. He just pissed me off. Here's the fact. We're going to tell you very quickly, and then we're going to let it go.
I love Mike.
Thank you. I love you, sir.
You cannot leave me. I will break down.
Now listen to what Don's going to explain what's going on here.
Here's the deal.
I'm distraught.
Here is the deal. As we tried to explain the other day, we work for a company called Infinity that owns another company called Westwood One. We do a radio show on WJFK, and we get paid the King's Ransom. We get real FU money. It's great. We do a show that the radio stations that pick it up around the country get virtually for free.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Our deal is supposed to be that we're supposed to get a percentage of the money from the commercials that they run. Well, after 11 years, as it turns out, Mike and I are making virtually nothing for being syndicated. And I'm sorry that that's what it boils down to, but when we wanted to be syndicated 12 years ago, Mel Karmazin sat us down and said, why do you want to be syndicated?
That's right.
And we said, because we want to make more money. We want to be in more cities and make more money. So now we're really kind of past this whole ego thing of being able to say we're nationally syndicated.
And not to mention the fact that it's very difficult to figure out around here what we are supposed to be making for this syndication.
Our accounting is
we're
ridiculous.
We're trying to simplify that.
You're thinking foreign! That's foreign!
All right, let me dumb it down for you.
Man!
Hold on. Listen to this.
What am I going to listen to?
Grant
Napier?
Let me dumb it down for you. Maybe you'll get this.
Hold on.
You're a salesman. And you're selling shoes. And you're number one in your region. And
right.
They say to you, you're so good at selling shoes, we're now going to give you 5 new districts. And you go out and you sell shoes in those 5 new districts, and you sell more shoes there than you even sold your original district.
Al Bundy, right?
And they pay you 1/6, 1/8, 1/10 of what.
So can they fix it by paying you guys?
Now, here's how they can fix it. The radio stations that want our show can pay us. For instance, whatever you're calling from Sacramento,
right?
Whatever they're paying Grant, they should pay us.
Right.
That's all we want is to be paid.
We really think where we are successful with this show.
You guys sound like athletes.
What?
You guys sound like the athletes that got all the money that they want more.
No, we don't. Actually, we don't want any more money. We just don't want to give it away for free. And we're perfectly happy doing the show on WJFK for the next 5 years. I'm sorry that listeners in other cities will be hurt by this.
Mike, I love you.
Yeah, well, I mean, why don't you listen to what we're saying, man?
What do you think? It's just me talking? You think Mike has no say on this decision?
I know. It's just, man, that's my comedy right there. That's just jacked up.
Well, then, you know.
I understand that.
It's a business decision.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and it is like athletes. And you know what? There's a similarity between what we do and athletes because there is a life expectancy for this type of thing. And I think we owe it to ourselves and our families to do the best we can. And we also owe it, believe it or not, to the radio station here that pays us the bulk of our income. And if they're not going to get the benefit by syndication, then why do it?
All righty, folks.
Yeah, really, we're past this whole J.O. thing of we're nationally syndicated.
When it's not putting it, I understand. It's just basically a word, basically.
But, you know, really, I think that I am optimistic that there will be stations around the country that will, you know, adhere to the new system, and I hope that works out. And I hope
how come when TV shows get syndicated, they get broke off, right?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's a totally,
the same way?
Totally different thing in television.
Totally, it's totally different in radio, and it's just we got a bad deal, and it's not right. It's not right, and it's not only the fault of the radio stations, it's the fault of Westwood One, our syndicating company, that we don't even get accounting anymore.
Right, we used to.
We don't get accounting. We have no idea. I'll be glad to tell you exactly what... the figure that we get for syndicating the shows, as I mentioned the other day, we're on 40-some stations right now, comes to roughly $100 a month for each radio station. Comes to $25 a week, which means that Mike and I are being paid $12.50 a week.
And really what you measure...
I can pay you guys that.
What you measure that against is the revenue that the radio stations that we're on are making on our show.
And I think what Westwood...
That's the problem.
What Westwood One doesn't get is that we are really, and I swear to God, and I don't mean anything bad towards any listeners that have been so loyal to us in all these other markets. Mm-hmm. They think that we're going to hang on just because we buy into this notion that we're nationally syndicated.
No, and that's not going to happen anymore.
No, which is why we're doing time checks and weather.
We would rather have a smaller family of radio stations that demonstrated they really want the show than to be all over the place with people getting it for free. Yeah.
And the only way to get that done, like everything in our business, is to go on the air with it. Because trust me, for the last year and a half, we've tried it behind closed doors. We've tried to do it the right way, and it just doesn't work.
And it doesn't work. It's not out of malice. It doesn't work because there's this complacency and this status quo with a lot of people getting paid a lot of money that don't really do anything.
And we've tried everything. I even said to these guys, they got to deal with AOL. I said, put our show on AOL. And I know that you can't do anything unless you make money. I'd even be charging for it. You make people pay $5.95 a month or whatever because you pay for HBO. They shut that idea down. So unfortunately, what it finally comes down to is Mike and I are getting paid to be on in Washington. We're getting paid to be on in Philadelphia. Getting paid to be on in Baltimore and Ocean City. Why? Those are the stations that are paying. Those are the stations, I'm sorry, that are going to get the preferential treatment. The rest of the stations aren't paying. and we're not giving it away anymore, and it's time just to pull the plug and be a local show and serve our most loyal listeners, the listeners who have supported us for 18 years, because we got a bad syndication deal, of which we're making no money, and there's no contract, and I'm tired of... You know, you guys don't want to hear this. It'll be interpreted as bitching. We're just trying to use this opportunity to explain our position without being overly emotional, without name-calling, without rehashing stuff over and over again. But frankly, we're ready to blow up the whole thing.
All right, do you get it now?
Yeah, this is the swan song, basically.
Well, maybe not. I mean, especially in a market where you're calling from, I would think that would be... From a business standpoint, that wouldn't be a real good idea, but you have no idea. We have no control over that.
Well, this is the last. I love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, my friend. Kristen.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just calling because I think that metaphor you were talking about with the shoe store thing is a little bit off.
Why is that?
Because with the guy with the shoe store, right, he's got to go out to all those other regions and he's got to sell. But you guys, to be syndicated, you don't really have to go out to those cities and
do no. See, here's where you're wrong. What we have to do, if you're syndicated, is give up the part of the show where you talk about local events in your city and talk about things like the weather and the time and stuff like that and cater everything to a national audience. That's what you do.
Yeah, but honestly, the show itself is the sale. I mean, that's what it is. The analogy is, I mean, if you're selling shoes, that's your profession. Our profession is we do a radio show doing the show. That's the similarity.
And
I see the similarity. It just doesn't seem to me like you have to do any more work.
No, see, you're very wrong, and I'm not going to get mad at you. You don't understand it because it seems very easy to you. And granted,
right.
We have great jobs, but you don't know how much trouble it is not to talk about things that are happening in Washington or Baltimore because we're concerned that people in Sacramento or Las Vegas or Bakersfield or Seattle won't understand it.
Yeah, but you're defending what we do to this woman who says we don't have to do any more work. That's like saying, well, pay David Letterman for New York.
All right.
Don't pay him for the rest of the country.
She should also You should look at it this way. Other people are making money off of Don and Mike and
Bingo.
Not sharing that money with Don and Mike. Is that fair? No.
And the people that originate our broadcast from our flagship here in Washington, D.C. That's what this is about. It's not about, you know, because you add a radio station, does that mean that we work another hour? No, it doesn't work that way. When you do a national show, when it's offered to the country, there are people in those markets that benefit from having this show on, and I think we deserve a piece of that, and anyone that is in this business would have a hard time arguing.
Or anybody. You'd want it no matter what business you had.
What do you think? You think because we do the show here in Washington that we should just offer it for free?
No, I think you deserve the money. I just was commenting on the metaphor. I definitely think that you deserve it.
It's Miss Nitpick.
Listen, thanks for calling, only child.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
See, I think there's a, you know, you're going to get a little edge from people about
that. Which is why we really have tried to avoid that in the last couple of days. But that's why we're doing, like, the time checks and everything, because eventually the only way that we're going to get out of this deal, of which, incidentally, hello, Westwood One, we don't have a contract with you. We don't even have a signed contract with this company that syndicates our show that is cheating us out of money already. We don't have a signed contract. So the only way we know to get out of it is to do stuff like time checks and weather for the cities that are committed to the show so that eventually the other radio stations will say, well, if that's going to be the way it's going to be, then count me out.
Right.
And hopefully they'll say, well, gosh, the Don and Mike show is just as valuable to us as, in, for instance, in Sacramento as Grand Napier. You know, gee, I guess we've had a free ride for these last 11 years when we've been getting the number one rated show and paying nothing for it. And we don't want to go in there and hold these guys up for tons and millions and bags of cash. Just pay us what a local disc jockey would make.
Right.
You know? I mean, we're not asking for the world. And if that can't happen,
then we don't want it to happen anyway.
Right. Then we want to be on in Washington and Baltimore, because we're sister cities, and Philadelphia, as long as Tim will have us, and Ocean City. Because that's where people from Washington and Baltimore go to vacation in the summer.
Right.
And that's it.
That's it. It's that easy, and we'll keep you posted.
That's where we're at. So thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you for indulging us.
Thanks. That's it. I hope this is not taken by you guys as us bitching or moaning or complaining, because we're not bitching or complaining.
This has gone on for, what, 11 years?
Yeah. We got a great deal with WJFK. And one reason that our ratings, while they're great, are not as great as I think they should be, is because we don't say that enough. We don't say we're on WJFK FM 106.7. And we don't say that because it doesn't make sense in Sacramento to say that. Now, it would make sense in Sacramento to say WJFK and KHTK if KHTK wasn't getting the show for free.
Bingo.
They're getting it for free, so why should we cater stuff to them? Again, you take the listeners out of it. It's a business decision. That's why they call it show business. And all we want is what's fair, and we are perfectly willing to shut the whole baby down.
Right.
Shut the whole thing down. It's not a threat. It's not any ego trip. It's just being realistic.
Yeah, you just get to a point where you have to say, you know, nothing has changed. Nothing moves forward, and finally, you know, why? And if we're not obligated to, why continue? What would be the reason?
You know, me and Mike have been through this. We've got 5 years together, 5 years left, and we're tired of the crap. We'd like to go out on top. We'd like to go out being happy, being the friends that we are, having a good time.
Right.
We're blessed to have a real good contract at WJFK. And if it ends up that we're only on WJFK, that's fine with us, too. I mean, we failed. We failed in New York. You know, we failed in a bunch of places, but we've done well in a bunch of places.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, this is our home. This is where our bread has always been buttered.
Right.
And if it's D.C., then so be it. It's D.C. I'd like it to be D.C. and Baltimore and Philly and Ocean City. I'd like it to be a lot of the cities that we're on.
I'd like it to be every affiliate we're on right now. If it worked out that way, it'd be fantastic.
But something tells me that a lot of...
I don't think so.
A lot of these stations aren't going to want to pay the going rate for a disc jockey, much less, you know, the money that a guy like Howard gets.
Right.
So...
Well, I mean, and really, in fairness to some of these markets, we're aware of the fact that one of the reasons a show like this is taken is because of that situation.
Because it's free.
But there are other stations where we know that is not the reason, that there is not hardship.
Right. And if anybody at Westwood One is listening, which I would totally doubt, they just don't have a freaking clue what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the stations that we want to quit. It's Westwood One.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a contract with you. And when Mike and I behind the scenes have gone in and talked to our managers about this, the latest line of BS we got is, well, Joel, who's the outgoing president of Westwood One, he'll be in town on July 10th. Maybe we can have a meeting with him then. So how would you guys react? You know, it's like, forget it.
We've had so many of those meetings, gone to so many of those, you know, broadcasting conventions.
All we really want to do is just come in every day and just do a show and just have fun and goof around and make your ride home from work a lot easier.
And it would be very simple if every time we got a new affiliate, we would say, oh, that's great, and we'd be very excited about it because we know that the people that are on our network are the people that really want to be there.
And part of the thing with the station paying for the show also indicates from them their word that they're committed to the show. Because
mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times we get word that, oh, congratulations, you've been cleared in Buffalo. And then we're on for 2 days in Buffalo, and the manager hears something, because a station rep, because Westwood One didn't tell him what the show is about, and he decides that he cancels the show.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of business deal, what kind of business is that? I want out of that business. I'm very loyal to everybody who listens to this show. Really, I get on my knees, and I thank you for listening. But I feel very sad that if you live in one of these cities where I fear we're not going to be heard very soon. However, if you live in Washington, you're safe. If you live in Baltimore,
safe.
You're safe.
Move here. There's plenty around.
If you live in Philadelphia, you're safe until September 30th. We got to get better ratings so that they won't fire us. If you're in Ocean City, you're safe. Beyond that,
Ocean City.
Mm-hmm. Safe.
Okay.
Again, remember, people from here go there.
Right.
Oh, but if they don't,
right,
then they're out too.
Yeah.
Right. I'm, listen, I'm playing no favorites here.
Okay.
Everybody's the same to me, Mike. Like in the discussions we've had in private, I'm happy if we're just on one station.
Okay.
This station.
Okay, Ocean City.
I got you. Well, relatively speaking.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, what would a disc jockey in Ocean City make?
Bingo.
That's all we want.
That's it.
What does Kemosabe Joe make?
There you go. Is he down there?
Yeah, he is.
Is he down there?
Yeah, he is.
Kemosabe Joe.
That's all we want.
That's great.
So that's where we're at, and that's why we're doing the stuff. It's 5:08, incidentally.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time. It's 5:08 on the East Coast. And the weather tonight will be cloudy with rain with a low about 60, about everywhere that we broadcast to, on the stations that have demonstrated that they really care about the show.
Very good.
And now, thank you. Let's close this discussion.
Amen.
And whatever happens, happens.
We will let you know.
Now,
or then please. Again, if you are in some of the
you'll know.
Cities, you'll know anyway.
You'll find out. And if you know, no matter what happens, let me just leave you with this. Suck me. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We're here. We're queer. We're Irish. Get used to it. We're here. We're queer. We're Irish. Get used to it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Networks love reality shows because they don't have to pay writers or actors.
Stupid writers and actors priced yourselves right out of the business. Nice going, geniuses.
Executive directors of the group home, Don and Mike.
519. Don and Mike Show on WJFK, 106.7 FM. Live 105. 94 WISB. And 96 Rock.
Then we can move on.
Very good.
I'd like to. We got other people who want to call in to either take our side or argue with us about it, and you're probably going to agree with me. It's pointless.
No, we're doing what we're doing, and hopefully it'll work, and we'll see what happens.
Joel in Maine, who says we're being short-sighted. I see your call on the line. It's our life to live. We've only opened it up this much, so you know where we're coming from.
How long have we been on WZAN? Almost for the whole time we've been syndicated.
Right.
No.
Joel. Joel?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead, Joel.
Joel.
Gentlemen. Now, as far as that dumb bee's take on your analogy about the shoe salesman.
Wait, can you just get to the point?
All right, my point is, are you guys done with radio after your present contract?
With the show as far as we're doing it? Yeah.
All right, then. I guess I really don't have anything to say because you're reducing your caller base, and I think your caller base...
Can I tell you something? And again, see, I don't want to say anything that's going to piss off these other cities.
Yeah.
For a long time, Mike and I did a show just to Washington, D.C., and we did fine with the callers here. As a matter of fact, still to this day, the majority of our phone calls come from Washington, D.C. So if you're thinking that... And I've had that thought, gee, we'd be losing the callers from the other cities.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make that trade. It's my life, it's Mike's life, it's our career. It's our call.
But we are loyal friends and fans of yours.
That's great. Then what you should do is uproot your family and move to one of the cities where they are willing to pay.
Or call your station.
For instance, let me ask you, do you watch the Jerry Seinfeld show, or did you ever watch it?
Of course I did.
Okay. When it went to syndication, if there was a station in Maine that refused to pay Jerry Seinfeld to run that show, would you call Jerry Seinfeld up and say, Jerry, you got to cut a special deal just because I listen to your show?
No, I understand. I totally understand your concept and the whole idea behind your syndication problem. But the way I see it is you're giving up so little to lose so much.
We're giving up nothing. We're not making anything.
Right, you're not making anything.
Rob made a good point that this gentleman could choose to vacation in the wilds of Baltimore.
Right. Listen, it's our decision. Regardless if you agree or not, you're not in our shoes, and that's it.
But you don't see the potential of all these other cities as far as...
The potential...
You say not in this format, but you might do the show in a different format.
We're not doing the, listen, don't you get me? I've been doing this. Maybe you don't get this. Maybe you don't understand it. I've been doing it for almost 30 years. I've been blessed enough to work with Mike for almost 20 years. When we get to the end of this contract, this type of radio that we're doing now, it's done. This is not like a Howard Stern threat. It's a fact. Mike and I were ready to cash our chips in a couple of years ago. But we had a little change of heart. But this is about as far as it goes. So,
well, I thank you. All right, I thank you for taking my call and listening to me. I was a bartender at your Las Vegas style show at the State Theater when you came up here. I've been a big fan for a long time. And
that was a great night.
We did enjoy that.
It was a great night, wasn't it?
Sorry for drinking all the whiskey.
Thank you, my friend. No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Don't worry.
I just had kind of a scenario for your effing listeners, including myself, to understand. You guys are doing a show. Now, put it in this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on, get to the point, please.
Okay. Real quick. If I'm doing a lot survey, I'm a land surveyor. I'm doing a lot survey for you.
Are you drunk?
Halfway.
Yeah. Okay, Walter, weary, less saggy, because, listen, here's the thing. Y'all want to talk about it.
Loaded. You know, he's like, let me tell you. I got my courage up now.
The next thing will be that I'm going to go back to the fax machine. There will be hate faxes. You guys whine and complain and moan, and all we're trying to do.
We have been over the last few shows because there's a lot going on. Trust me, it will be worked out.
We're just trying to tell you exactly where we stand. Mm-hmm. So if you happen to turn the radio on one of these days and we're not on in your city,
you'll know why.
You know why. And also, I should tell you, even though I'm running the risk now of getting people mad at us, I'm going to tell you, we're going on vacation. Our last show will be next Friday, the 20th. Mike, here's why I'm saying it.
Why?
Because what I don't want is for us to have to discuss this today. Then we go on vacation next Friday, and immediately people say, oh, they've walked out.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They're on protest.
That will not be a walkout, no.
It's not, no.
Will not be a walkout.
No. We got a vacation coming up. I'm just warning you that we have a vacation coming up. Okay?
Right.
So we're not walking out, so don't read anything else into that. That's the only reason I mentioned that. And now, oh, that's all people want to talk about. But see, the thing is, the people on the telephone are not the people listening in the cars. So no offense.
If this show was a Broadway play, when we get like this, you'd have the stage, and then, you know, in the wings where the guy runs the sound, and the guy, all those walls would be taken down, and you'd see the guys moving scenery back there, and you'd see the producers coming up. I think we've let everybody in, and if they don't understand it, then c'est la vie.
Okay. Then let me just disconnect.
The curtain has been pulled back.
That's it.
And I think it had to be because we have to let people know what our deal is, especially if you don't hear us in your particular city, you'll know. Cheapy, cheapy.
Right. So anyway, that's it. Now, boy, it's a good thing Brett Butler didn't show up tonight.
It's just we had to get this off of our chest.
Yeah. Otherwise, we never would have gotten this topic on.
She's buying cat food.
Putting it under her breast.
That's correct.
Oh, here's another great thing. I got to do a plug for the limo company.
Okay.
Oh. Even though they didn't bring her today.
Well, they'll bring somebody else sometime.
And I think that's the reason.
That's right.
I think that's why. Hey, Mike, here's a call we can take.
Okay.
A guy who got high with Snoop.
Very good.
If we could get back to Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike.
How you doing, gentlemen?
So when did you get high with Snoop?
It was back in 97 at Lollapalooza.
And you have a good time?
I mean, come on. You know, a white guy smoking with Snoop, what could be better?
I'm telling you, the more I'm reading this article, the more really I have to say, Mike hit the nail on the head.
Right.
That he is this generation's Elvis. Now, I don't know if he's going to end up fat and bloated. But he really, for all of these quotes and all of these
ladies
things,
and gentlemen, Snoop has left the building.
The only advantage Snoop has for never getting to the Elvis level is he doesn't apparently have a circle protecting him.
No, he does. He has an entourage. Yeah,
but this article got out. I mean, so this would have never happened for Elvis.
Sure, but it's a different
more like his colon surrounding him.
So funny to see the picture of him boxing against the bag of weed. and then he's announcing what he wants to do is take the weed, give it to charity,
and let them build a children's hospital out of marijuana.
Out of weed. That's nice.
Is he the greatest? All right, so listen, when you got high with Snoop,
yeah,
how good was the pot?
Well, the funny thing about it was, is during the show, everybody's throwing blunts and bags of weed up on the stage. So I'm guessing it probably wasn't his weed, because when we went in his dressing room, there's nothing but blunts and joints and bags of weed on the table.
He's like Elvis, right? Yeah. Elvis used to get his junk for free.
Did Snoop have an entourage?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They had to pat me down and check me out to even let me in his room.
Were there ladies around?
Oh, yeah.
So Elvis never got, like, his Demerol and stuff for free?
All this stuff was prescribed.
Doctor.
Right. Remember, that was big.
Oh, that's right.
That's how Elvis thought it was okay.
Right. Yeah, and then right now, Snoop's in pretty good shape, it looks like.
Elvis hated weed.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Whoops. Hold on a second.
Got an Elvis CD. What is it? Is it something about Elvis or Snoop?
Oh,
hello?
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Howdy. Hey, I wanted to tell you that I got that Elvis, Are You Lonesome Tonight? You know, when he goes to Plus Tax?
Oh, right.
I got that on DVD.
It's a classic, sir.
It's great. You guys want a copy?
No, we don't need one. I think my kid just downloaded it for Rob off the internet.
Now, where did you get that? Because the actual special that aired on CBS, conveniently, that part is missing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was aired after Elvis died. Where did you find it?
These are the two concerts that were unedited that led to the final production that made it on CBS.
Please take 5 Excedrin. And immediately send those along. Fast as you can.
Rob was so happy with my kid when Bart found this thing for him on the internet and downloaded it for him.
I told him it's the holy grail of Elvis.
We're watching. Right. It's fat, bloated Elvis with scenes that were cut out of the show because they didn't want you to see.
And most of that last concert, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. That is literally his last concert. Wow. It aired once on CBS, and that's it.
Where was his last concert?
It was Indianapolis.
Was it Indy?
It's in the ground.
June 22nd or June 20th of 70.
The Underground. That was the name of the club.
It was in the Dirtland.
The Stellar, man.
And you know what else he got me on the internet? And I see Buzz. You had this on the news yesterday.
Right.
The Hulk.
Yes.
Saw it.
Yeah.
Saw it
on the internet.
On the internet.
Right. Yeah.
And at least the version that's out on the internet,
mm-hmm.
It does look like crap.
Wow. Like the Hulk himself. It's just really silly.
The CGI is just awful.
That's what I hear.
So I can see why they're upset if people.
What is with CGI?
Computer-generated image.
Ah, okay.
So if people are watching that and thinking, oh, that's the Hulk, mm-hmm. Well, then, Jesus, I certainly understand it. And
looks a little bit like Paul Gorgie, our salesman here.
I think it looks a little bit more like one of the ladies that works up on the third floor. Mike, we never got to finish this yesterday.
Cheryl.
Yeah, and hey. Unfortunately, we got a break again because we had such a long, drawn-out conversation.
Yes, it's with our showing everybody Oz.
Bitching and moaning and complaining.
Third Gay Pride with two hot, hot queer folks right standing in front of me. We have a drag king, mm-hmm. And we have his hot partner here. Tell me what Gay Pride means to you.
All right, hold it right there, Rob. Remember, we heard the part of the show today. We're not done with the show yet. When we come back on track with the show.
Yeah.
Cheryl, the big dyke. And the second part of her tape presentation of Gay Pride Day.
Fantastic.
Here in D.C., where it's 5:31, not only in D.C., but in Baltimore and Philly and Ocean City, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
When I open the curtain, I see this gentleman sitting on a service cart, sitting down, with his pants down to his ankles, relieving himself.
What a great guy he is.
Sir, this is not a bathroom. Excuse me, sir, this is not a bathroom. Imagine a small room and a grown man defecating in that small room and spreading it all over.
What a great guy he is.
Imagine that smell. You can't hide it.
You've got 4 minutes to get Sabian here. Or you'll find out just how serious I really am.
He was very bad. Very bad.
He asked for Sabian.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was the car.
I didn't get the jingle in there. I'm sorry.
Don and Mike show.
It's so William.
What do you think Sabian can do? He can't do anything to stop it.
So intent on putting Sabian.
see it all over that.
Be good, or they'll put you in a sack and take you to Spain. The Don and Mike Show.
Wow.
Okay. Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello.
Speak
Hello,
to
Don
us.
And Mike.
Yes. Howdy.
Suck me.
Suck me.
Suck me.
I am reporting live sitting in traffic on 76 East in Philadelphia. We're a little slow from Conshohocken to the curve and then around approaching 202 at King of Prussia. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you for the update.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hello?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say that... Hello?
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 Are you there?
Yeah, is this Don and Mike?
Hello?
Hello?
Can we help you?
Is this Don and Mike?
Yes, hello?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that
hello?
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 Yeah, you're there, caller. I think we've got her now. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Hello?
Mike,
yeah.
is it me?
Yeah,
you've had trouble with your headphones. Hello?
No, I was being like a caller. Is it me?
Is it me?
Hello?
Hi. Is
hello?
This Don and Mike?
Yeah. Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. I just wanted to say that... Hello?
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 How may I help you?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that 7100...
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Is there anyone on the line?
Yeah.
I think we have a young woman
hello?
On the line. I think.
Hello?
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 Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to say that 7100...
Hold on, who do you want to talk to?
Don and Mike.
Oh, hold on.
Hold on a second.
Hold on a second.
Yes, once in a while it's just fun, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You want to join, Rob?
Okay.
Shall we pick up again?
Yeah. Your turn, Rob.
Here you go.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
You're going to have to speak up. Hello?
Hello?
A little louder?
Hello?
I'm having a hard time. Can you speak up, darling?
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
A little faintly. Can you speak up?
Yeah.
Hello, who's on this line?
Morgan.
This is the Don and Mike Show. What are you calling for?
Actually, I was just talking about traffic because I know you were complaining about it the other day. Hello?
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 Hello? Hello?
Is there anyone there? Do we have a caller?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who do you want
Don
to talk to? Who do you want to talk to?
I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Oh, they're not
why
here right now.
Why didn't you say so? Hold on a second.
Okay.
We'll get them.
Jesus. What's your name?
My name's Morgan.
Hold on, right. Please.
Okay. May I?
Sure. Then I got one, too, but go ahead.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Who's this?
My name's Morgan.
Hello?
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 She's listening now.
Yeah, they ain't here.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I just want to talk about traffic. So I know that Don was complaining about it earlier, and I was
they're
just
they're not here. No, they come down
okay.
with something.
We're hello?
You know what? Now I know you guys are really there, so.
That didn't take long.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks
bye.
For calling.
Bye-bye.
That was Morgan, ladies and gentlemen, the quick study.
Hello? There she is. Hello. Hello. Don and Mike.
Suck me.
Hello. We're going to have to steal that from Snoop.
Absolutely. Make it our own.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Now it's for sure. Now somebody's doing it to us.
Hello?
Okay, it's not funny. Okay,
not funny when you do it to us.
Not funny now. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, you guys are hysterical.
Hello?
Thanks for taking my call at 5:46 p.m. on the West Coast.
Suck
on East Coast.
Me. Suck me. What can we do for you?
I just wanted to know, if Snoop Dogg died today, would he be the third one, and would that elevate him to Elvis status today?
Yeah, now listen, you've already got David Brinkley and Gregory Peck going today.
Right. Suck me.
But that was Snoop.
This is Gregory Peck. For God's sake, suck me.
This is David Brinkley 4 years of this goddamn nonsense. Suck me.
Suck me and save the boy.
Mr. Brinkley, this is Peter Jennings. You are on the air and suck me.
Well, I'm not on the air. Suck me.
Suck me. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I just want to report that it is raining in Washington, D.C., the home of the Don and Mike Show.
I am on Telegraph Road near Route 1, also known as Jefferson Davis Highway.
There you go. Now, listen, there's somebody who really gets it.
He gets it. Let's see if he really gets it, though. Is there anything you'd like to say to everybody that's in traffic right now?
Yeah, suck me.
Yeah, he gets it, ladies and gentlemen.
Winner.
That is a smart listener right there.
There you go. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, is this one of those things with the syndication where we're going to have this happen soon, or, you know, will it affect Sacramento's meet and greet, or are you just going to leave us out in the wind, or...
Yeah, like, that's it, because we want to leave you out in the wind.
No, I know. No. You'd rather break wind on me. I understand.
No, it has nothing to do with that. As a matter of fact, if it doesn't happen, if it happens, Rob and I will still be going to Sacramento.
Awesome.
In July, mainly.
Okay.
Mainly because I've already paid for the ticket.
We got a deal because they're non-refundable.
Yeah, I'll gotta go.
Okay, I'll still be there with gifts.
Okay, see you later.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Suck me.
Hello. Don and Mike.
I love it.
Hello.
I really do.
Hello, suck me. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm calling about Morgan.
Morgan who?
The caller, a couple callers ago.
Oh, she was great.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. I just wanted to say, instead of calling up and giving traffic reports, I think she should plan traffic after that episode.
Ha ha ha!
Suck me!
No, suck me.
Yeah.
Suck me. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how you doing today?
Okay.
My cell phone is fish. I called you guys like four times in a row in the last 5 minutes and got through every time. But every time I got through, I cut off. And I wanted to just say, this is good. But seriously, who is this good guy? If Brinkley and Peck are done, who's left?
Hey.
Oh.
Reagan?
Hey, wait, hold on.
What? Suck me. now it's a race.
A contest. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike. Suck me. Hello.
Hello?
Suck me.
He got it on the front end and the back end. What can we do for you?
Hey, it's Big Mike from Dewey Beach.
Yes, Big Mike.
Enough of this other talk about the traffic. I just wanted to let everybody know it's a beautiful day down here on Delmarva Peninsula. Don, I know how much you love Ocean City.
Technically, that's a nickname, so you got to cut him loose.
Suck me.
Yeah, he sounded like a nickname guy. Hey, come on, suck me.
Sorry. Sorry, BM. Don and Mike. He said his name is Big Mike. Hello, Don and Mike show. Suck me.
Hello?
Yeah, suck me.
Don?
Yeah.
Hey, suck me.
Right.
Hey, I was wondering if you were jealous of Tom Likas.
Oh, tremendously. It's an obsession,
sir.
That's
all we hear around here.
It's an obsession.
Well, now you're trying to make fun of him by doing the hello over there. Did you want to talk to Don and Mike?
Yeah, I mean, right, because that is a bit that I'm guessing Tom Likas invented.
I don't know that. But that's what he does.
Where are you calling from?
I'm in Seattle.
Right. Suck me.
Suck me.
Listen, here's what I'm jealous of, really, with Tom Likas. Mm-hmm. All this other stuff, all this banter aside, I'm just jealous of his good looks.
Nobody can wear black like he would.
He does.
Day after day day.
How many times I go down to this guy that cuts my hair, Ori, and I say, listen, whatever you do, make me look like a fatter Elton John.
Yeah, give me the Dutch boy. Give me the Dutch boy right now.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, radio God.
Hey, all right, you win, Mike.
Thank you.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Blair from Baltimore.
Hi there.
Hey, I want to tell you it's raining and lightning in Baltimore, and also I want to teach you how to say suck me in Chinese.
I know. Here's a helpful one. How do you say suck me in Chinese?
You say, Song Yu Gong Gong Meng Yi.
Sungi gangang mangi.
Well, it's a little language that me and my extremely bored brother made up when we were little kids.
Oh, I thought it was real Chinese.
Real Chinese. Wow, suck me. What the fuck, yellow brothers? Kings in the house. Okay.
Chisels.
Is Cheryl still on the line? Hey, Cheryl.
Hi, it's Cheryl Big Dyke. Suck me. To all the lesbians in the world, suck me.
Yeah, we're going to take your tape, promise, in our next break. Hold on, okay, honey?
I have no problem holding on.
Thank you, darling.
Suck me.
See, I'm not going to say it to her because I'm afraid if I said it to her, she'd say when.
It sounds a little weird over the phone, you know.
It does.
Kind of strange.
Suck me.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's 552.
Suck me.
WJFK.
Suck me.
I live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when you're living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
Hey, Mom!
Let them raise your children. The Don and Mike Show.
If you got a problem, don't kill me.
Hello, Don and Mike.
And want to give a quick shout out to my boys, Dazan, Nazike, and Fuzzizzle.
All right, suck me. Suck me. Bye-bye. Suck me.
I love the whole Snoop thing with the show today.
You know, every once in a while we get a fax, and I take the time. There's a guy in Green Bay right now named Dennis, and I just actually called him during the break, not to yell at him.
Okay, mm-hmm. Now, sounded like you were being very mellow. I was wondering who you were talking to.
No, there's a guy asked a bunch of questions about what we were talking about, and he totally misunderstood the situation. So mm-hmm. I called him and explained it to him, and he seemed nice enough, so hi to him.
At the end of the conversation, what'd you say?
And then we get some like this that I can't respond to because there's no phone number. But it says, Don and Mike, I must say I've listened to your radio show by advice of a friend, and you guys are truly amazing. I've turned the radio on for 5 days and have listened intently. The verdict is in. You've managed to grab the attention of millions of listeners without one cell of talent between the two of you.
Yeah.
That said, you've captured the attention of the nation's brain dead. You know, the people that do things like drink Bud, watch soap opera, drugs, blame the other guy, cheat and lie, and basically do not have a moral bone in their bodies. You're like fertilizer for cow crap. But sadly, this contributes to the sad decline of America in general. You must be laughing in your sleep over the stupidity of your audience. I'm sorry, this is far more time than I have to congratulate you. I would say good luck, but clearly, you don't need any. Pete, Northern Virginia. Hey, Pete.
Thank you so much, Peter.
Suck me. It's
suck me, Pete.
604 on the Don and Mike Radio Network tonight. Everywhere. D.C., Baltimore, Philly, Ocean City. Scattered thunderstorms. Looks like it's rain now and then just cloudy tomorrow. So who knows? You know, they really, it's one thing with the weather. They really don't know.
They don't know. It's scuddy. That's the word I like to use. It's scuddy. It's going to be a little scuddy next week.
It's muggy.
Day.
It'll be in the 80s. Temps right now, WJFK, it's 88. Live 105 in Baltimore, 87. Philadelphia, WYSP, it's 82. And Ocean City on 96 Rock, it's 81. And a great idea here from a corporate giant, mm-hmm. and I do mean that literally, Jay Stevens, the guy who is one of our many program directors. Jay Stevens sent along the following. Maybe you heard in the news of at Camden Yards, when the Cubs were playing a couple of days ago, some jackass ran on the field and threw a cork at Sammy Sosa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it turns out, he's a former Infinity Radio employee.
Oh, God.
At 94.7. And Jay Stevens sent an email to Charlie Brunhill wondering if we wanted to do something with the guy.
Yeah.
To have him on as a guest.
Yeah, that's brilliant, because that's so popular in America right now,
mm-hmm.
interviewing idiots that run on the field like they're celebrities.
So I like Charlie's response. Two words. No way.
Yeah, really.
That's it. So that's, you know, these are the kind of things that they're coming up with on the corporate level for us.
Excellent.
You know, they're always trying to help us,
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out ways to make our show better. Just leave us alone.
Well, I know I speak for the whole show when I say suck me.
Suck me. Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Yes.
Gay Pride Day.
Right.
Oh, listen, tomorrow, you know, we're not going to be stiffed by Mick Foley.
No.
Mankind, right. Like, and Mike and I were talking about this, of all the guests that we do or don't have on the show, wrestlers are always here or on the telephone.
Yeah, they're there when they say they're going to be there, and they're usually a good interview.
When they promise they will be. Mick's got a new book out. He's coming on the show tomorrow. Plus, we'll have the brand new low-budget Jeopardy and tomorrow's Spotlight on everybody's favorite, Joe Ardinger.
All right.
Special with Joe on tomorrow's episode. Now back to Cheryl and The Gay Pride Parade.
Our Gay Pride with two hot, hot queer folks right standing in front of me. We have a drag king, and we have his hot partner here. Tell me what Gay Pride means to you.
For me, it means freedom when we're on stage performing, and, you know, I'm a bio queen, and, you know, he's the drag king.
This happened over the weekend, right?
That is fixed and that it's fluid, and we can be whoever we want to be whenever we want to be, and that sexuality is something that should be appreciated and put forth in the community, and you should accept it and embrace it, and it's a wonderful experience for all.
And, you know, we've seen drag queens for years.
Past weekend down on, I think, Constitution Avenue. Was it Constitution?
Like
or was it?
When you're on stage? Mm-hmm. Tell me,
Constitution of Pennsylvania.
Do that.
Which I'm not going to explain.
Drag king. Very proud.
To the people in other cities.
Fun. Yes, yes. We love watching you. And you look so hot in the beard. Thank you.
Almost sounds like she's hiding the microphone somewhere.
Do me a favor. Don and Mike are gay.
Gay men's chorus.
The gay men's chorus. This is where we.
Let's listen.
This is where we left it yesterday.
To maple trees. Besides those differences, they hate are the strength that made this country great. Only fools would write those laws.
The Gay Men's Choir.
Fantastic.
You can't take the color out of Colorado.
What?
You can't take the Mary out of Maryland.
Gay Men's Choir.
As John Philip Sousa said, I can't march if I can't hear the boys in the band.
Anymore. I have to leave. I'm going to kill myself or something. That's the Gay Men's Chorus.
Hey, that's good, good
and I
job,
still haven't found Homo Joe.
Look under the bleachers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mississippi out of Mississippi.
Sorry, I just can't take it.
Can't take the Mary out of Maryland.
Out of Oklahoma. Yikes. John and Mike, I found two luscious lesbians that are fans. Tell me what Gay Pride means to you.
Lots of beautiful women and possibilities.
Well, tell me, do you like to eat or have your be eaten? I might be eaten, but on occasion I will eat some massive. Oh, so you're like a lazy bottom. You know what, though? It's a pet, 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 pet.
Wow, yeah. Gotta rewind.
I got a little crazy there.
A great moment. I gotta rewind.
Yikes.
John and Mike, I found two luscious lesbians that are fans. Tell me what Gay Pride means to you.
Lots of beautiful women and possibilities.
Well, tell me, do you like to eat or have your be eaten? Have my be eaten, but on occasion I will eat some massive. Oh, so you're like a lazy bottom.
You know what, though? It depends on the person, because I tend to be a pretty aggressive top at times.
Being a bottom is not lazy.
Being a bottom is not lazy, because you're the one that has to sit there, also pumping at the same time, and have your legs pinned up behind your ears.
Oh, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I mean, a lot of flexibility. I mean, it takes a lot of time, and, you know, a lot of workouts involved during the week. So it's a hard job.
It's a hard job, but someone's got to do it.
Absolutely, someone does. And someone else does have to.
Have you listened to
that? Beautiful.
You told me that sometimes you sit in your car because you can't get up because you're laughing so hard.
Oh, my God, you have no idea when I'm driving home from work. Don and Mike, I will sit in my car for 30 to 45 minutes at times because I can't get the signal inside my house and I have to finish hearing their bits. So I absolutely adore. I've been listening to them since I was in the fifth grade, which was 1986.
Wow. And look, she turned out. You would want to do her, any of you guys. She is hot. She is hot, hot, hot. Tell me, do you think Don and Mike are gay?
Don and Mike are the biggest homosexuals I have ever heard, seen, witnessed, ever. Happy Gay Pride, bye.
Too
is great.
That means to you.
It means for me to come out and be gay and proud and happy because I'm a homosexual. Homosexual.
Thank you. That was drag queen Amanda Starr.
Wow.
Hey, Nick, come on. Keep going. Another night of drag. Another night of drag. We have a real good time. Just putting on some drag. Don't be no fool, boy. Just stay at drag school. And we'll have a real good time. Just doing some drag.
Woo! Thank you.
Yeah.
Woo! Donnie Mike, yeah, I remember those guys. They really liked me. I was that girl that put their microphones on at NBC television years ago. You remember me? I'm that wonderful,
beautiful
girl. Don.
Oh, no.
Lunkhead.
We need a clarification here.
The Pride Day is winding down. There were about 200,000 people here. It was huge.
That could have just been someone that used to work at NBC 4.
I don't know whether it was a man or a woman we were listening to.
Well, hold on.
I'm sure you saw it on the news.
It's almost over.
Queens, leather guys, everything you can imagine. And a little dyke I found here who had been listening to your show since she was 15, 13? You made her a lesbian. It's your fault.
I think, you know, you kind of had a big influence on me with the Vibrator Olympics and just the different gay things. And I'll never forget when Mike said that if he had to be gay, he would be on the bottom. You go, girl.
Happy Gay Pride Day, guys. I think I'm going to go now have sex in the no-no.
Oh.
Wait, still no Homo Joe, though.
Yeah, Homo Joe.
Is that it? Where is that?
Oh, that's it.
Wow.
That's great.
Great job.
Kick ass.
There you go.
Yay. Awesome job. Here she is now. You did a great job, baby.
Thank you.
Cheryl, we sure did love that.
Excellent.
I'm here.
You know, we can smell the homosexuality and the lesbianism.
I mean, you obviously covered a lot of ground that day. That's fantastic.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
And seriously, thank you for being our emissary in the gay community.
My pleasure. And, my pleasure.
All the homos and all the lesbians out there know that they have a home here.
Absolutely.
And don't take this literally, Cheryl, but suck me.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to. Hey, you know, I gave some thought the other day about the beer that the gay community really loves.
Right, yeah.
And I think it has to be Heineken because they all try to grab a Heine if they can.
Bingo. All right, thank you, Cheryl.
See you soon,
honey.
Love you guys.
All right, love you too.
Bye. Happy Gay Pride.
Happy Gay Pride.
Yeah.
Happy Gay Pride.
Hey, Cheryl. That's the best report she's ever done.
I think so. We really got the essence.
Oh, we got to make that an every year deal with her.
Please.
What's going on? And there must be, you know, other festivals we can send her to.
Wonder where Homo Joe was.
Oh,
wonder what bungalow he was hiding in. Get it? Bungalow?
Oh, ho.
Hold on, here he is. The always calls so late in the show.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Homo Joe, call tomorrow because our schedule's all bad today, but please call tomorrow early in the show.
We'll do.
We want to find out what you were up to.
Okay.
A lot, trust me.
I dare you.
Bye.
I dare you.
Hey, Joe. Suck me.
In a way to bring good news to his people.
I'm funny that way.
Buzz?
Yes.
What is your lead story today?
Well, kind of an interesting transition. Today's lead story, Rosie O'Donnell's TV show may have gone away, but the lawsuits have not.
Anything else you'd like to say, Buzz?
Suck me.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned
for news
for
and comments.
News and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
616. Suck me.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They'll gladly run around in circles for ye. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
WJFK FM. Watch your
Washington, D.C. on Live 105 in Baltimore, 94 WISB in Philadelphia, Ocean City, Maryland on 96 Rock. Time for Buzz's News. Buzz brought to you by Veramax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer.
Someone call for a doctor?
Doctor developed and clinically tested Veramax works. Getting it right, at GNC and other select retailers. Try it today. To be Veramax, 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Just ahead of Buzz, we did get this from one of our longest-running affiliates, Iowa's most powerful radio station, KCJJ.
JJ.
Dear Don and Mike, our owner Steve has informed me we will pay for the show if need be. It's 81 degrees in eastern Iowa. Please include Central Time.
It's a nice warm day in Iowa. Yeah.
Well, for you, 521.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
P.S. Suck me.
They get it.
527.
All right, well, that's good. I like that.
I'm sorry, 527. And Kelly?
Kelly?
What you want to do is follow up on that with a call to Mr. Alan Linewand.
Very good.
You want to make sure you get your time and your call letter mentions.
Excellent.
And now here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A woman is suing the now-defunct Rosie O'Donnell Show, claiming she was hit in the mouth with a ball.
Oh,
one of Rosie's?
The 71-year-old woman wants $3 million for the pain and suffering. She says there was swelling and bleeding gums. She says the doctor had to give her steroids, antibiotics, and cortisone injections for the lumps that were left behind.
Can you imagine, woman? I was in the first row. They said it's the Rosie O'Donnell Show. And then one of her testicles slipped out of her pants and hit me right in the face.
I've never been able to stop these bleeding gums.
Thank God for John McD and the McDill team.
He sprung to action and put a tourniquet around my neck to stop my bleeding gums.
When I was hit by Rosie's ball.
Which is the most horrible thing I've ever felt. And the smell was unbearable.
And finally, Your Honor, suck me.
It apparently happened at a taping of the show in November 2001. She says the injury made her miss holiday parties and caused her embarrassment. The ball was reportedly fired into the audience with a slingshot by one of Rosie's staffers. O'Donnell
was her jockstrap, her thong.
O'Donnell herself is not a defendant, just the producers are.
Hey, everybody, you know, before I was telling you that we're going to be going on vacation soon, so you don't think that we're out on some type of strike or anything.
Right.
I hope that everybody also watches the calendar very carefully. Today is June 12th.
Right.
And today is the day that we read the Snoop Dogg article, and Suck Me is rapidly working its way to the top of our catchphrase food chain.
Very, very popular around the hallways.
I know a lot of you guys like listening to the show and listing stuff, and I'd be curious to see. I'm going to let it live its natural life.
Okay.
Right. To see how long Suck Me manages to stay with the show.
I think it'll stay with the show a good long time, and I really do think if it gets wide, if it goes out there, you know, it sounds to me from this article that this perhaps is a inside Snoop. You know, I'd have to find out whether it's on his TV show at all.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's his inside communication network. Mm-hmm.
That he says it, hello, goodbye, if he's happy, if he's sad.
If he's angry, if he's threatening.
Yeah, or if he's just, you know,
right,
saying, get in my car.
Suck me.
Suck me.
Yeah. So
make a note today, you Don and Mike historians, that it was June 12th,
right,
the day that Suck Me actually started to become part of the tapestry.
And we will give Snoop Dogg full credit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who would have thought we ever got something from him?
Absolutely.
Great article.
Mm-hmm. Suck Me. After James Gandolfini got HBO to show him the money, he turned around and shared the wealth with more than a dozen of his castmates.
That Suck Me.
He gave five-figure checks to co-stars Edie Falco, Lorraine Bracco, Michael Imperioli, Dominic Chinese, and Tony Sirico. The rest of the cast, including Robert Eiler and Jamie Lynn Sigler, got slightly smaller checks, but still, Gandolfini shared about $500,000 with his co-workers.
Wow, that's pretty intense.
Quoting a friend of Gandolfini's, it was always part of his plan to share the wealth. He has always called this show an ensemble from day one. The cast is now filming its fifth season to air next year, and there's talk now about a sixth season.
Well, that's nice.
That's
a pretty cool move,
and you never hear about that.
Right. And I'm not kidding. I knew that with Rob and with Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob,
Can you tell the amount of pride that you get when you get that three-figure check from me?
I love it. And, you know, that counts the decimal point.
I'm not too proud, Mike. I'm bragging and boasting a bit, but yes.
I understand.
Three-digit check.
That's great.
To my man, Rob.
Jerry Springer is still testing the water to see if he has a chance as a candidate for the United States Senate.
I was
Senate.
Just going to say, I know you like to share the wealth, and I do too. I don't do it with anyone here on the show, but I like to think that I share it with certain people.
Oh, I know. You're very generous with one person in particular.
Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that.
Springer,
on behalf of Mike, suck it.
Springer wants to know if there's support for him to run. He's just launched a website to see if he has support for a U.S. Senate bid. He'll measure that support by selling T-shirts, autographed photos, and CDs of him playing guitar and singing country western songs.
That's how George Washington did it.
Might as well make money while you're testing the water.
Springer.
Visitors to the website Run Jerry Run will also have a chance to make a donation to his campaign. Springer resigned of the Cincinnati... That did not keep him from being elected mayor of Cincinnati, but it may have kept him from being elected governor of Ohio later on.
Hope he can be manager of the Red Legs.
Mm-hmm.
I like you when they refer to the Reds as the Red Legs.
The Red Legs. Cincinnati Red Legs.
And there was a big, gigantic hoopla the other night that Pete Rose got into the ballpark.
Oh, really?
I guess he's allowed to go if he doesn't buy the ticket. And the more I look at Pete Rose... The more he looks like a beefier Jim Carrey, Dumb and Dumber,
yes,
on steroids.
Yeah.
Because he's got...
With a little bit of Mo.
Yeah, from the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
He's got the hair cut down.
Right.
Now, he doesn't have the space between his teeth.
Right.
But just sitting there in the stands, mm-hmm, he really looked the part. And as much as I hate to admit it, I'm probably going to have to go see... The Dumb and Dumber thing.
It does. The trailer looks funny. Those two guys look like they do a credible job.
You know, the whole thing when the plot was originally announced and the premise was announced, it was like, oh, this is a mistake.
Making it backwards, going backwards to where they're younger, is very funny to me.
But the guy is absolutely a dead ringer for young Dumb and Dumber Jim Carrey.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the other guy looks like Jeff Daniels. Yeah.
Chipped tooth and everything.
Yeah, I mean, the Jeff Daniels thing I don't think is as tough. Is coming up with as the dead ringer for Jim Carrey.
Absolutely.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, meanwhile, says the only support he's trying to drum up right now is for his next Terminator movie. But this doesn't...
Buzz, would you like a place?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Do I have to rewind?
No, I don't think it's necessary. You can if you want to.
But he's acknowledging it, right?
He's
acknowledging it.
Now, this doesn't keep Arnold from getting in a few jabs at California Governor Gray Davis, who's so unpopular, he's facing a recall vote.
I want to say, I'm going to beat him. It's my time.
But despite
suck me.
Despite telling reporters right now I'm just thinking about Terminator and not about anything else, Arnold sure acts like a candidate. He told a taxpayer advocacy group this week it's time for another revolution in the state's voting booths. Quoting him, California's future is in danger. This from the guy who says he's just thinking about the movie.
Our future is in danger, so get to the polls and start the revolution.
And I says, suck me.
As for Governor Davis, quoting Arnold, I know you'll help me recall him. Here's a reason to be...
That would be a total recall then,
yes,
bud.
Yes, it would. All right.
I'm here Monday through Friday.
Very good.
Here's a reason to be glad to work in the programming department of this company as opposed to the sales department. Viacom chief Mel Karmazin says in today's Wall Street Journal he's not...
Bravo!
He says he's not satisfied with the performance of the radio division for the past couple of years. But he says it's nothing that cannot be fixed with a, quote, kick in the ass of 3,500 salespeople. And quoting him...
Will you please start with Paul Gorgie?
Paul Gorgie's been the one today.
And I quote him, if I have to do it to each one, I will.
Wow.
How about doing it to the managers, too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about walking across the hall to Westwood One? Try that. Mel's boots were made for walking.
And this is what they'll do.
And what haven't I done for you? Oh, and yes...
Suck me!
Buzz, hold on.
All right.
You got to do this.
All right.
We'll be back at 6:36. We'll be back with a full segment of news and comment right after
this. This is the Don and Mike Show.
dealing with business right in the middle of the stop set.
That's all right.
That's okay. You know what I'm sending to Alan Linewan this year, Mike?
Are you sending him a phone?
Yes, I am.
Why?
I'm sending him a phone because I love him.
That's a good thing, and I know that he loves you.
I'm sending him a phone. I'm calling Singular Wireless at 1-866-SINGULAR, and I'm going to call and with a special offer that ends on June 15th. But what I'm going to tell Singular is I want a telephone that when Alan calls it, it will say calling Don, but really it just rings to an empty room somewhere.
Well, give me the second one if you get one for him, because you get a $50 instant rebate when you sign up for a two-year service agreement.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we get two phones from Singular?
Very good.
We'll call 1-866-SINGULAR. Two phones that ring nowhere.
Right.
One that says Mike and the other one that says Don.
Certain restrictions apply. See any Singular store for details.
And Alan can charge you whenever he wants.
Absolutely. He loves doing that.
Singular. Singular One. You're number one, baby.
Oh, we made a mess of that.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Warning, the following program features no actual coitus. The Don and Mike Show.
The National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning for Loudoun County and Fauquier County until 8:37. Now, how did they come up with 8:37?
I have no idea. I know it's
always where I live. Like at 8:38, you're safe?
Yeah.
If only you could make it till 8:38. Please take all necessary precautions. It's 6:47 now.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Don and Mike Show on WJFK 106.7 FM in Washington. Live 105 in Baltimore. Philly. WYSP Ocean City, 96 Rock, and KCJJ, Iowa City,
547.
Thank you for the letter.
Yes.
Now, follow that up with a phone call to Alan. Call him on Singular One.
Just Singular.
Singular Wireless. Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Suck me, Don and Mike. A guy I grew up watching on TV.
Did you say suck me?
He did. That was my thank you this time.
Oh, I gotcha.
A guy I grew up watching on TV. A guy I admired in the heyday of his career has died. David Brinkley has passed at the age of 82. He died last night at his home in Houston. The news anchor with the staccato delivery covered every president since Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
You got a boner for these news guys, really, Buzz?
This guy I really did like. I liked his delivery. I liked his writing style. It was very crisp. He used short sentences, and it was just easy to digest. In the 1960s,
to digest.
In the 1960s, a survey showed that Brinkley, along with his anchor partner Chet Huntley, were better known than the Beatles, believe it or not.
Oh, suck me.
So good night, David. And Gregory Peck, the Oscar-winning actor, died at the age of 87.
And Rob said the cause of death was that merry-go-round at Michael Jackson's house.
I believe that.
The boy, what about the boy?
What about the boy? We've got to save the boy.
The boy!
And if we don't, I tell you, suck me.
And Bob Hope's family's got to be on, like, DEF CON 4 right now.
Yeah,
that would be the trifecta.
If you got David Brinkley dead and Gregory Peck dead on the same day, they got to be walking around Bob Hope with candles right now.
Priests in every corner
chanting
of the house.
Now you can own Bob Crane's swinging bachelor pad. The one-time Hogan's Hero star lived there at the time he was murdered in a motel room. The Scottsdale, Arizona pad is now up on eBay. The asking price is $180, which is about $70 more than its market value.
Clink! I want you to buy me Bob Crane's swinging pad.
But it's ghastly overpriced. I'll tell you something, Major Hochstetter, we can't possibly afford it.
Clink!
Yes.
Suck me!
Suck me, Major Hochstetter.
Only one bid has matched the asking price so far. The bidding stays open till July 5th. Now, despite his best efforts, it appears Pee-wee Herman will end up in court defending himself against child pornography charges. Now, a second request to drop the case by lawyers for Paul Rubens has been denied. His lawyers have tried to argue that the statute of limitations has run out on the case.
I have a fool for a client.
They have also argued that Pee-wee owns...
Nah!
That what he owns is not porn, it's vintage erotica.
It's erotica.
He could be facing a year in jail and a $2,500 fine because prosecutors...
It's erotica!
Well, prosecutors say some of the porn movies they confiscated included 101 Boys and teen nudes in which teenage boys pleasure themselves.
Oh, dear.
Hey, everybody. Oh, hold on. I got it sent here, Rob? Is it on number two or number one?
Number two?
Number two or number one?
Oh, you got it.
Oh, here you go. Hold on.
Sorry about
that. Turn it on for a second.
There you go.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm not getting it. I'm getting nothing.
Yeah, real two.
Come on. I'm trying to get the fake reverb. Going somewhere with this.
There we go.
You got it? Hello? Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. This is your survey for Buzz. Pee Wee Herman's and Lou's. This is Pedophile. And now here's Pee Wee.
She's the girl on the flying trapeze.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Rubens.
She's the sweetest thing that's ever flown in with the breeze.
Tapes we never get to play. Pee Wee Herman.
Tell her that.
Yeah.
I'm in love with her.
Yeah.
She's the girl on the fly.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Buzz Burbank on saxophone right now.
Hey, Buzz. This is Primo File on WKIV. On the Apple. Paul Rubens. Johnny.
Co-star Jeffrey Jones, meanwhile, is still facing child porn charges as well.
That bummed me out. I like that guy. He's a good actor. I wish he wasn't a kid toucher.
George Beavison.
Frank Sinatra had a...
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Frank Sinatra had a big thing, according to the author of a new book by the man who used to dress him. Sinatra's former valet, George Jacobs.
Like Regis and Gelman.
His former valet, George Jacobs, has just finished his own memoirs. In Mr. S, George says Sinatra had to have his underwear custom-made to accommodate his other talent.
Oh, come on.
Daughter Tina Sinatra tells a curious reporter she's not sure this new legend is true. She says she, her sister Nancy, and their brother Frank Jr. used to shower with Dad. I'm quoting Tina.
Oh, hold on a second, Buzz. Buzz, you opened up the old can of worms right there.
Quoting Tina, he looked normal to me.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Hey, kids. It's shower time.
Take a look at this.
Finally.
Frank Jr.?
Not you.
The other one. Finally, it was the bees. The bees that helped the shoplifter get away clean.
Bees. Bees. You know, someone has to make a mental note.
Mm-hmm.
Or even better than that, get a piece of paper to write it down.
That'll work.
For tomorrow. We must have more discussion about Frank Sinatra's penis.
Yes.
And the fact that he used to shower with his children. I'd like to know how old they were.
Right.
Buzz, here's a homework assignment for you.
Okay.
From your news cubicle. How old Frank was when he was showering with his
loofah, baby.
Hey, there you go.
That's brisk, baby.
Finally, it was the bees that helped the shoplifter get away clean at Kmart in Sedalia, Missouri. After the shoplifter was spotted by security, he slipped into a bathroom. By the time security entered the bathroom, the man was gone, and the security guards encountered a swarm of 100 bees. The man had released them on his way out.
Wow.
Also on his way out, he added to the chaos by shouting, "Bees! Bees!" Fortunately, Kmart carries bug spray, and no one got stung, except the store, which lost some CDs, some perfume, and some batteries.
Bees.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
Lick the bees.
Bees. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Suck me. No. Today was a pretty fun show.
Absolutely.
We covered some heavy stuff, and then we pulled
right out of that and came back.
Like to thank those right-thinking Americans in Iowa, too.
Yeah. Suck me. So we'll see you tomorrow with a new episode with Mick Foley and... I know Mike's got a brand new Jeopardy for you.
Yeah, yes, I do.
Spotlight on my man Joe Ardinger tomorrow.
All right.
So until then, good day to you, sir.
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 It's 6:55. Thank you for listening on WJFK FM, Live 105, WISP, 96 Rock, and KCJJ. That's it, Rusty.
I dropped the washcloth, baby.
Suck me, everybody.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.